Journal. Happy Thursday, everyone. We're excited you're jumping on with us today. A lot happening all around the country, but as we take a look in Washington, D.C. right now, President Trump is up early, and he is speaking right now at the prayer breakfast. Let's take a listen.
Let's have breakfast, Chip. Great. Then I get others pretty much the same night. I don't want to name too many, but I would. And they always get there. We have one that doesn't get there. We have one guy. He's an automatic no. No matter what. If we did welfare reform, if we did the greatest thing in history for religion, no matter what we did, no matter how good it is, greatest tax cuts, and we just did the greatest tax cuts in history, he voted against. He voted. Now, no matter what we do, this moron, no matter what it is, we could put them all together. I think, Mike, what would you say the top five things? Name them. We'll put them in one bill, and we'll put them before we'll get 100% vote, except for this guy named Thomas Massie. There's something wrong with him. We call him Rand Paul Jr. You know, it's like they just vote no. They love voting no. They think it's good politically. The guy's polling at about 9%. It's not good. But we have great support, and we have great support for religion. You know, I've done more for religion than any other president. When Paula was saying that, it was so nice. I was proud of it. And I said, that's true. I told the people backstage. What she said is true. Who else would say that, right? But it is true. But then I said, but that's not saying much, because not too many presidents have done too much for religion. I want to tell you that. Certainly modern day presidents, they bailed out on you. They bailed out. They want to be neutral. They want to be neutral or against. You know, the Democrats are against. I don't know how a person of faith can vote for a Democrat. I really don't. And I know we have some here today, and I don't know why they're here, because they certainly don't give us their vote. I certainly know that we're not going to be convincing them to vote for a little thing called voter ID. It polls at 97%. And even the Democrat, the people, the voters, are at 82% for voter ID. But the leaders don't want to approve it. They said they will strike. They will not allow it to happen. It's polling at over 90%. It's called voter identification. When you go to the polls, you show if, yes, my name is so-and-so, and I live in the country. I'm here. I can vote. They say, that's not allowed. And no, everyone's trying to figure it out. And they do something to win. You know what it is? They cheat. But let's get on to another subject. No, at that, they're the finest, probably anywhere in the world, I would say. But we're trying to pass voter ID and other things having to do with your religion. And getting the Democrats to vote is very, very tough. But we're grateful to the co-chairs of the breakfast, Representatives Ben Klein and Jonathan Jackson and Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And I want to thank a man who's been with me for a long time. We've been friends, and I used to be interviewed by him, and all he wanted to talk about was war. I said, this guy, you know, he's very smart, went to the top schools, was a top student. He's like me. I was a very good student, too, but nobody would think so, you know? And nobody thinks Pete was a good student. I don't know. They think him as a tough cookie, a flamethrower, which I like, actually, in the position of Secretary of War. But he has done some job. Pete Hegseth. You know, he's very popular. He turned down a very large 5-year extension contract for millions of dollars a year. Oops. I don't want to say that. Your wife is here. She's saying, are you crazy? He's got the greatest wife. But it's true that Pete has just been incredible. And I used to go and be interviewed at Fox and Friends. Remember those beautiful days? And I'd say, what do you want to talk about? So I want to talk about releasing about 25 prisoners. They have arrested American soldiers because they taught them how to fight. And they
will be right back
really
with
well.
More as the president
and
continues to speak at the prayer
every
breakfast.
Battle.
I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and father and a guy who loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric, without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer, it just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning. Welcome to the American Journal. Thank you for jumping on with us on this beautiful Thursday morning. A lot going on over here. I'll break down the schedule that's happening in Washington, D.C. right now for the president and members of Congress. Before we do, President Trump was up a little early today, and he's speaking right now at the prayer breakfast. Let's jump back into that.
People saw that. I was just talking to a great leader from El Salvador, and he said, man, that was some attack. I've never seen anything like that one, right? Right? That was good, even by your high standard, right? That was a hell of an attack. But we have a great country. We have tremendous leaders. We have a fantastic cabinet. We have unbelievable bench. And one of them is Attorney General Pam Bondi, who may be here. Where's Pam? Is she here? Where? Where are you, Pam? Where? See, she wants to keep it nice and low-key. You're really catching fire, by the way, Pam. You know, they were saying about Kristi Noem yesterday. I did the Super Bowl interview. Sir, are you going to relieve Kristi Noem of her duties? No. Oh. I said, why would I do that? We have the strongest border in the history of our country. We have the best crime numbers we've ever had. Going back to the year 1900, that's 125 years, we have the lowest crime numbers, despite the fact that this horrible, world's worst president, this is the worst president we've ever had, Biden. He had no idea he was president, so he doesn't take it personally. I don't want him to take it personally. Fortunately, he has no idea what the hell I'm saying. And he's watching right now. He's happy with what I just said. This is what we had running our country. But no, he was our worst president. We had some bad ones. We had Obama was very bad, terrible divider of our country. He was a divider. And believe it or not, we're bringing the country together. You know what's bringing it together? Tremendous success. We're having tremendous success. We have more investment being made in our country now than any country has ever had by many times. Go back 10 years. A certain country, not us, $3 trillion. We have in 11 months, because the 12th month is coming out next week, we have $18 trillion of investment coming in. The biggest ever was three many years ago. And one of the reasons for it is Secretaries Doug Burgum and Doug Collins, they are drilling like, you know, my whole thing was drill, baby, drill. Where are they sitting? I love those two guys. Come on, stand up. And is Catherine there? That's Catherine. Yes. Hi, Catherine.
All right, we're going to step Chris in on this because the president is continuing to speak at the prayer breakfast right now. As many of you guys know, he does this quite often. A little discouraging, though, to hear him take a swipe at Congressman Thomas Massie. I don't think it's the right environment for that. Let's be a little positive. It's prayer breakfast, folks. Too early to be throwing shade, with the president continuing to speak there and speaking about how people wanted him to fire DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, and that's a hard no for him. So we'll continue to keep our eye on that. But when it comes to the president's agenda for today, his schedule is kind of busy. As you guys could see, he's currently speaking at the National Prayer Breakfast, and then later at 11 a.m. he's having his intel briefing. And then at 7 p.m. Eastern time, he's expected to make an announcement. And we'll find out the details about that, of course, later in the day. But as of right now on his schedule, all it says is the president is set to make an announcement at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So we'll keep our ears to that. Also going on in the Hill today, Treasury Secretary Benson is going to be testifying in front of Congress. He's expected to be in front of the Senate Banking and Housing and Urban Affairs Committee. So we'll keep our eye on that as well. But let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about immigration, because that's a topic obviously polling well for the president. And it's been polling well for the president because it's been a hard one for him. I mean, it's been a hard fight. I think the American people understand what's happening here. You see, Democrats have imported millions of people from countries that hate us, brought them into our country. Their refusal to assimilate or even to try to contribute to our society is the reason why President Trump was elected. Americans have had enough of this. They've had enough of taking in individuals from third world countries and then them ultimately becoming leeches to the system. So President Trump made that a top priority during his campaign. And so far, after a year in office, he has lived up to that. Now, obviously, it's going to be tough given the fact that the last administration intentionally flooded millions of illegal aliens into this country. And obviously, we're looking to overwhelm the immigration courts. And according to those experts, these illegal aliens are supposed to get due process, which I don't understand how they're even privy to, but they are apparently allowed to get due process. But here's the thing, right? Now you have the courts that are overwhelmed. You have immigration services looking to hire more immigration judges. We see that all the time on social media. I'm constantly seeing them post about you don't have to have a law degree. You could become an immigration judge. And they keep pushing for just that. But the reality of it is the courts are overwhelmed right now. And they're running out of places for housing. As I reported earlier to you guys this week, they have now started using warehouses. It's about 23 warehouses they're going to be utilizing to start, I guess, using them as detention centers for immigration services. So we're expecting that. Now, President Trump obviously is trying to push back on the negative media coverage and all of this. And DHS has done a great job at trying to push out the facts and beat the mainstream media to their false narrative. But the problem is now, I think President Trump is a little afraid. It appears that he and the members of his administration are now rolling back the amount of ICE and just federal agents in Minneapolis, for example. Now, as many of you guys know, there's been a lot of left-wing terrorists taken to the streets protesting. I don't think protest happens after 8 p.m., but they call it a protest, even the violent ones. And as a result of all of that, they have now pulled back 700 federal agents. Now, yesterday, President Trump did, in fact, meet with a member of the media, did a sit-down interview yesterday. In clip one, he's asked specifically about who made that decision to pull back those 700 agents from Minneapolis. Take a listen.
That big change on immigration, 700 officers leaving Minneapolis. Did that come from you?
Yes, it did. But it didn't come from me because I just wanted to do it. We have, we are waiting for them to release prisoners, give us the murderers that they're holding and all of the bad people, drug dealers, all of the bad people. We allowed in our country, I say 25 million people with an open border policy for 4 years under Biden and that group, the AutoPen group, I call them. We allowed to come into our country people the likes of which no country would accept. And we're getting them out. Yeah. But we've gotten a lot of them out. So crime now in Minnesota, crime now in Minneapolis is down. Crime in all cities is down. It's down? It's down because of us. It's down in Chicago by 25%, despite the fact that we are always dealing with these people, and they happen to be Democrats, don't know anything about crime prevention.
Discouraging to hear the president say that he was the one who pulled the plug on that. Now, yesterday we heard from Tom Homan, who detailed the fact that, yeah, they are pulling 700, but he believes due to the fact that local law enforcement will be cooperating with them, that this will be a much easier task to take up. But again, this is what these left-wing terrorists wanted. They wanted to push out federal agents. They want to keep illegal aliens in their community, in the communities that they're policing now. This is what's happening. Yesterday we had Jorge Ventura on the show. As many of you guys know, he is someone who is on the ground in Minneapolis and was assaulted. Because why? Well, he was recording, he was filming, and he was reporting on what was actually happening on the ground. They don't want the American people seeing what they're up to. They have decided that they're going to start policing their own community. And some of these people aren't even from there, so it's important to note of that. A lot of these people have been brought in. Many of you guys know they deem this as a full-time job for so many. And so that's what's happening now in Minneapolis. So it does appear, again, a possible victory for those on the left. Now, Trump didn't stop there, and this is the key part that I want you to listen in on. A lot of people were skeptical as we head into midterms the president was going to go softer when it comes to immigration. In fact, They were afraid that he was only going to start saying to ICE and other federal agencies to only go after those who have actual violent criminal records. Not all illegal aliens, just the ones that are violent criminal aliens. Now, obviously, this is discouraging for most. And in clip two, you're going to hear the president talk about just that.
I have a question about immigration still looking forward now. Your goal during the election was to deport everyone who came here illegally under President Biden. Is your mission now to deport everyone who came in illegally or just people who have come in illegally who have also committed additional crimes?
We are totally focused on criminals, really bad criminals. Now, you could say people that came in illegally are criminals, but I'm talking about murderers from different countries. We have 11,888 murderers that Biden and his group led into our country. We've captured a lot of them. We've brought some of them back. A lot of them we don't want to bring back because we don't trust the country that they're not sent back again.
Yeah.
Despite how strong the borders are, they'll figure a way to try and get in, and we don't want to, and we'll incarcerate them. But 11,888 murders.
Yeah.
We are after those people. We're after the drug dealers.
Right.
We're after the, we are after, by the way, a big problem. They allowed to come into our country people from their mental institutions, people from insane asylums that are mentally ill and very dangerous. We're getting them out.
Yeah, we've heard that time and time again. And unfortunately, that seems to be the case. All illegal aliens need to leave. We are done with these people who have come into our country and are not supposed to be here. And this is exactly why the Biden administration did what they did. They intentionally flooded this country with millions of illegal aliens, knowing that the PR pushback the mainstream media was going to do was going to lead to the future administration not doing enough to purge these people from our society. They don't belong here. The American people voted for all criminals to be deported. All criminals. We don't sit here and go and select what laws we decide to follow. All of our immigration laws are important to follow. And so for many, I know this is discouraging to hear, but it appears the president is going weak on immigration. There's no other way to look at it. The reality of it is now they are starting to withdraw federal agents because, well, tensions are high in Minneapolis. And although they claim that federal or local state officials, I should say, are cooperating with them, the reality of it is so many of us are on the outside saying this doesn't look good. This doesn't look good. Now, I get it. I get the political reasoning for something like this. They need to be able to do something like this because the reality of it is midterms aren't looking good for Republicans, and they are well aware of that. But what about those voters that you want to show up for those midterms, the people who voted for you to get into the White House, the people who voted for Republicans to get a majority? We've sat on the sidelines now for months watching as our agenda, the agenda of the will of the people, was never really carried out through. I mean, we're sitting here watching what's going on right now, and it's not what we voted for. Now, I get it. There's a whole PR angle to all of this, and it is a nightmare. But the reality of it is we should not be going soft on these people. All of them should be deported. That is exactly what the American people voted for. That is exactly what the people want. We don't get to pick and choose what immigration laws we enforce. That's what Democrats do. Not supposed to be Republicans, of course. But again, it's a uniparty. And this is why the American people keep calling it a uniparty. You see, Democrats do a great job at holding the line. Republicans always seem to fall weak and then want to claim victory when it's not actually a victory. What's happening right now in Minnesota is what we always told you was a distraction. They were trying to use the immigration argument to push away from the fraud that's been uncovered in their state. And it's working. It's working. And it's really unfortunate to sit back and watch the administration complies with just that. In fact, all you have to do is grill these local law officials. I want to talk about specifically the one in Minneapolis, Mayor Jacob Frey. As many of you guys know, he is a total beta male, total coward. And he was asked a real tough question, one that he himself is unable to even answer. Why is it you're so against right now, so against working with the federal government to enforce immigration laws when these were the same policies under Barack Obama? We'll take a look, listen to clip three because the mayor actually responded to it and it's quite the, we'll just say PR gymnastics.
It is worth noting that during the Obama years, the Hennepin County Jail actually had a policy where they let an ICE agent keep an office there and allowed them to talk to immigrants. So the policy has clearly been under a Democratic president, what now the Trump administration is asking for. I mean, big picture, do you think it's good policy for the jails to follow an ICE detainer and hand someone over if they've committed a crime? And again, this only happens after they've served their time, you know, for whatever crime they may have committed against the people of Minnesota.
I mean, look, you're asking all the right questions here. And while I don't have full expertise in how the operations at the jail are conducted, again, that's not our jurisdiction. What I would say is that there are mechanisms to do this lawfully.
Lawfully. They always say that. There's different mechanisms to do this lawfully. Please, sir, cite what law you're deeming that the federal government is violating. Cite it. They can't because they're lying to you. They're lying to you. That's what Jacob Frey is doing. He's lying to you. See, the reality of it is Barack Obama was the deporter in chief. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. He did an incredible job during his time occupying the White House. Those are numbers that this administration would drool over if they were able to get a hold of those. The reality of it now is those on the left are only against what's going on because it's President Trump. Everything he does is evil. Everything he does is evil. Virginia Governor Abigail Spransberg is an individual who was just recently elected. As many of you guys know, this was actually a Republican seat, but it since has changed. And now she is the one who's running the show. So she's currently right now leading in Virginia. And of course, because of all of this, as one would expect, now that she's in full control, guess what she's doing? Guess what she's doing? Well, she's rolling back critical measures that were meant to protect those in Virginia. She's just ended a Virginia State Police 287G agreement with ICE. Now, this agreement would have allowed state law enforcement agents to work in the Department of Corrections to work and assist ICE. So what does that mean? Well, it means, guess what? That Virginia is a sanctuary state. Why? Because they're unwilling to work with federal agents to get rid of the worst of the worst. You guys, this is common sense. This is common sense. To work with ICE is common sense. Every day, I tell you this every day, I get these emails. And these emails highlight the worst of the worst, those that were captured. Those that were captured by ICE. And again, yesterday I posted it. There was an individual charged with manslaughter who they just picked up. Two rapists yesterday. I mean, they are out there getting the worst of the worst off the streets. And the reality of it, too, is you can't let up. You can't just sit there and say, we're only going to go after those people. We need to go after all of them. We need to go after all of them. They don't belong in this country. They're chipping away at the American dream. And we have an administration right now trying to tell us that housing costs are super high right now due to the influx of illegal aliens that have come into this country. If that's true, Mr. President, then we'd expect you to carry out all of the immigration laws to get these people out of our country. Can't just nitpick. You got to get rid of all of them. We don't even know what the number is at this point. It could be 25 million, 30 million people. We don't know. But they all need to go. They all need to go. I was reading an article over the weekend. And it was saying how 1 million deportations a year is the ideal number for them. 1 million is the bare minimum. 1 million should never be the goal. We should be deporting all of them. All of them. Up the amount that they could get to get them out of the country. I don't care. I don't care. And again, this is the breakdown I do on my Twitter page every day. Whenever I see these emails coming in, I try to bring it to you. But the worst of the worst, being picked off the streets. Do you want rapists living in your community? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Do you want people that don't believe in following our laws in this country? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So we truly hope that the president's not going soft on crime here when it comes to illegal aliens. They all need to go. That's what the American people voted for. And we expect nothing else. All right, I want to turn to clip four because J.D. Vance said something very, very interesting. And we take callers in later in the show. I want to hear your take on it as well. But let's take a listen to what the Vice President of the United States said about President Donald Trump and how he's now building a, quote, new world order.
Yeah. And there's a real question about whether there's a massive shift happening now in terms of world alliances long term.
Well, it's definitely, I think, a new world order. I think the president has sought to. There's a new world order in trade. There's a new world order and globalization and the way that we invest in our economy versus, you know, foreign supply chains. There's a new world order and that the president is willing to shake up some old alliance structures. I mean, NATO, I think, is much different because of the president's leadership than it was 10 years ago. It was sort of coasting. It was effectively a protectorate of the United States of America. Obviously, you saw what happened in Venezuela. So, yeah, the president is putting a stamp on world history, but fundamentally in an America first way. Like
All right. So he's claiming it's an America first way. But are those the real trigger words? American people don't want to hear new world order. They don't want to hear it. But I understand what J.D. Vance means by that. I know I saw people a little triggered online. And I get it. I get it. We don't like those words. But it does. He's been doing good on foreign policy. Let's just say that. Although I don't think it should be a top priority right now. The American people should be the top priority. But the president has been doing a good job on foreign policy. And so far, most of the world leaders are falling into line. They saw what happened in Venezuela. They saw what happened in Iran. And they're all falling in line. We haven't had that in the White House in quite some time. So it's a bit refreshing to see. It truly is. All right, I want to jump to this. Chairman, this is the J6 committee, Barry Loudermilk. Barry Loudermilk, first off, is not going to be seeking re-election. That news came out yesterday. He's expected to retire. And so many, and we had him on the show several times. I believe we had him on twice. So many good Republicans are bowing out. Tells you everything you need to know. But Chairman Loudermilk yesterday issued subpoenas to T-Mobile for the communications of Brian Cole Jr., who is the individual who they're claiming was the one who planted those pipe bombs outside of the RNC and DNC. Now, the interesting part here is I was told that the FBI already had all of this. If you remember from the criminal complaint, the FBI says they got his phone records. So why is Loudermilk now issuing the subpoena when he could just reach out to the agency that claims that they already have it? And they've had it for years. Is Barry Loudermilk a little doubtful that maybe they got something wrong? There's something there, folks, because I remember reading through that criminal complaint where they sat there and they mapped him down. They tried to pin him to all these certain locations through his cell phone. So why would the chairman of the J6 committee be requesting T-Mobile to hand him over a copy of his phone records? Tells you something. Tells you something major. It's good to hear, though. It's good that we're doing checks and balances. That's exactly what this position's for. And it just so happens that subpoena is being issued the day that Barry Loudermilk announces that he will no longer be running for re-election and he's bowing out and retiring. I think there's probably something more there. So keep your eye on that one. We'll reach out to Barry Loudermilk's office to see what the goal is there on that one. All right, folks, buckle up. We got a full pack show for you today. In just a little bit, we're going to have a big story regarding Fulton County. It's going to be a good one. This one specifically, though, the reason why I'm really interested in this story is it matches with reporting that I've done earlier in my career in regards to the 2020 election. Surprise, surprise. Nobody wanted to investigate the allegations of election fraud, but they told you, gun to the head, it felt like, this was the safest election we've ever had. Safest, most secure. Everyone went down and read that in the same line. Brian Lupo is going to be joining the program. He is a writer for Gateway Pundit. He just broke a big story yesterday in regards to a really interesting transcript. He'll be joining us in just a few moments to detail just that. So buckle up. We've got a packed house for you guys today. So don't go anywhere. A bunch of incredible guests also joining us. Dr. Mary Bowden will be joining us, as well as Sonia Labosco and Mary Ruck from Daily Caller with a big story that she's been working on. So don't go anywhere. We've got more to discuss.
Unless you've been hiding under a rock, you've heard about methylene blue. Well, we have the best. 7 years ago, my medical doctor told me, get on any USP-grade methylene blue. Just buy it online. So I did. Really didn't feel anything. My wife felt some energy. I knew it was good for my mitochondrion cells and the telomeres and things, but I kind of forgot to take it because the results weren't that dramatic. Then my main sponsor, Bigley, almost a year ago, said, try this. We have true USP medical grade out of Florida. This company actually makes it for the medical system, but they're letting us buy it and put it out. Unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. 15 minutes after I took it, I felt electricity through my hands and body, surging energy. It was actually kind of scary. Then it peaked in about an hour, and then no letdown. You can take this stuff and go to sleep. My workouts got better. My clarity, my focus, it's really been crazy. So, you know, the news and information we cover is super accurate. You know, the guests we have on have track records of being super accurate. I don't promote anything that isn't bona fide and real. So for all of you that have been on the fence out there, believe me, you're missing out if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com and get our Ultra Methylene Blue. It is simply insane. I've given it to almost every guest that's come in on the show. I forget sometimes. And every guest has had from dramatic to insanely incredible results while they're still on the air for an hour. So here's some excerpts of what they had to say about it. You took Methylene Blue about 30 minutes ago. Are you feeling it?
I think I am. I feel it in my head and neck, too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it. Unlimited power! Oh! Ah! Yeah!
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With Methylene Blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
You totally feel the difference. I use the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it, you can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesstore.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're all excited that you're here with us, of course, because a lot's going on all across the country. We have a lot to dive into, so happy Thursday, everyone. Welcome back on board. Folks, I keep saying to keep your eye on Georgia. I know that was a big one for us, and there's a lot of reasons for that. As many of you guys know at home, I've been covering off and on, because obviously the news cycle has just been so crazy, but I've been trying to cover since the elections, obviously, what's been going on all across the country. And I've done several important sit-down interviews, I think, in regards to those who are behind the scenes in the fight for 2020. And I've helped also get those stories told on other shows that I was producing for. And so now it's kind of refreshing to sit back and see the truth come out in regards to what took place in 2020. So let me just give you a little bit of a backstory. As many of you guys know, there was a big, big push to challenge the election results in Georgia because, well, there was a lot of top people saying, hold on, there's something really strange happening in Georgia. Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York City, I should say, was one of those key people who was out there and trying his very best to sound the alarm on what was happening in Georgia. And sadly, so many lawmakers were cowards and didn't want to help Giuliani out. But he was doing his very best to explain that there was massive fraud in Georgia and was hoping that someone had enough cojones to jump on board and help him make that argument. Now, Giuliani is speaking out in regards to all of that because we all know what that led to. That led to him being sued into bankruptcy, and they've tried to destroy his life. But he's not shutting up about what happened in 2020. He recently sat with Benny Johnson and did an interview, and in clip 7, he details specifically what he suspected was going on in Georgia.
We were absolutely certain that in Georgia they had a factory 3 blocks away from the arena in which they were printing up the ballots they needed to fix the election. We could never get the U.S. attorney to do a search warrant. When we uncovered an ATF agent uncovered a possible burning of ballots, Barr assured us that it would be covered, and the U.S. attorney sent no one. The ATF agent is willing to testify to it today.
Did you hear that? Bill Barr promised, that's the former AG, to send someone to go investigate all of this. Now, I know, because I was speaking to other people over at the White House during all of this, that Bill Barr was actively looking to shut down any investigations into claims of election fraud. In fact, I was able to detail 3 specific cases of just that. And we also detailed other things, like how one FBI supervisor that I personally spoke with directly told me that when he asked, what are we going to do about all these election fraud tips that are coming in via email, the next day he was told to pack up and get out after spending years at the agency. So what the heck is going on in regards to the 2020 election? Why were they so quick to shut down the investigations, but then give you that really bad talking point when they told you that it was the safest, most secure election we've ever had instantly? They didn't want you looking into any of this. And there's a lot of cases and examples of just that. Recently, it was uncovered, and this is a really, really important one, that former Senator David Perdue, due to his grand jury testimony, spoke about how the governor, Georgia governor, Brian Kemp, didn't want them looking into the claims of election, let's just say potential election fraud. And as many of you guys know, back in 2022, I actually made my way over to Kemp's office. I was reporting on a group of protesters who had made their way into the Capitol and had dropped off thousands and thousands, roughly about 40,000, signed affidavits claiming that these individuals, these regular citizens, had issues voting on Election Day, whether it was somebody voted via mail-in ballot, dropped those off, and it wasn't them, and they were trying to alert the state of that. Or there were other affidavits that were signed that just alleged election fraud was taking place. Well, sadly, I never heard back from Kemp's office, and I followed up many, many years after, and still nothing. So it's interesting to see this latest report come out. Joining us to discuss is Brian Lupo. He's a writer for Gateway Pundit. He's also a combat vet, and he's the one who just broke this really incredible story regarding what's going on in Georgia and how former Senator David Perdue's grand jury testimony outlines how the governor, Brian Kemp, allegedly decided to step in and block any type of investigations going on into election fraud. Brian, thank you for being here. This is an incredible report. I'm going to let you detail it since you've done an incredible job at this write-up on this. It's really fascinating. It's up right now on badlands.substack.com. But walk us through your latest findings in regards to this new document that you found that details how Perdue is accusing Kemp of blocking any type of election fraud investigation.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Brianna. It's great to be able to get this story out. So the grand jury transcripts, as you mentioned, were just recently unsealed by Judge Scott McAfee. And in the Senator Perdue grand jury transcript, you see Nathan Wade, you know, Fannie's lover boy, questioning Senator Perdue about whether or not he believes in the integrity of the investigations that took place in and around the State Farm Arena. And Senator Perdue says, no, I don't. I believe they took place. I just don't have any faith in their integrity. And Nathan Wade asked him, well, why not? So he comes up with this example where he talks about in November 2021, a phone call that he got from the then director of the Georgia Bureau of Investigations, Vic Reynolds. And Vic Reynolds tells him, hey, Senator, we're not going to investigate this because the governor told us that we're not going to investigate it. And, you know, he wants me to tell you why. And Vic Reynolds goes on, you know, Senator Perdue says, yeah, please tell me. And he goes on and he says, well, and this is a quote from Senator Perdue. I'm a team player. If the governor doesn't want to investigate, we're not going to investigate. Now, earlier, according to Perdue's testimony, Vic Reynolds had called the evidence presented to him, quote unquote, compelling to be investigated. And this was, you know, the cell phone data, the video evidence from the drop boxes, there was a witness statement that they had from a witness that wanted, you know, whistleblower protection. He wanted some form of protection and never was able to get that. And bank records showing that he made $45,000 doing these ballot drops and coming from NGOs in and around, Fulton County. So this was really damning testimony from Senator Perdue, and it went nowhere. You got Governor Kemp shutting it down, Vic Reynolds gaslighting and saying, you know, telling True the Vote in a letter that, hey, we had repeated requests for this witness and we never got it. Well, I reached out to Catherine Engelbrecht, the founder of True the Vote, and I asked her over the weekend, hey, what can you say about this? And she says, we reached out to GBI several times after the one and only meeting that True the Vote had with the GBI. They reached out several times trying to re-engage with the GBI and never got anything. So it seems like this is part of a cover-up. And this is a trend in Georgia, especially around Brian Kemp. Some breaking news for you this morning. In my article, I mentioned two other I should mention Vic Reynolds, the then GBI director, ends up going on to be appointed by Brian Kemp to a Superior Court judgeship in Cobb County. And that's important because there's two other judges that were in their previous roles involved in this, you know, kind of obfuscation of election investigations. And there was a gentleman named Bob Covert that did an investigation into the ProVNV audit that Brad Raffensperger claimed they did following the 2020 election and found out that, no, they actually did not do an audit. They sent, you know, ProVNV to these six counties. And Bob Covert, through open records requests, found that none of those six counties had a record that they did any audit there. And so Covert took this to the governor. The governor said, we'll take this to the inspector general. He takes it to the inspector general. The inspector general says, this is compelling. We're not going to investigate. He just completely ghosts Covert. I have a clip if you want to play the clip of him talking before the state election board.
Yeah, well, we'll look to pull that one up because I think that's fascinating and we'll get on that right now. It's on your X page, correct?
Correct. I sent it over as well. But I can explain it. I mean, he says, you know, he reaches out to the inspector general and says, the inspector general says, we have 28 claims here. I can only investigate one. I'm going to investigate the claims that this ProVNV audit didn't take place. So Bob sends him all the documents that he has. And the inspector general ghosts him after that. Then Bob takes it to the district attorney for the Appalachian Circuit, a woman there, and she looks at it and does the same thing, ghosts him. Both of those people would go on to get appointments to the superior courts in Georgia, one being Scott McAfee, the judge that presided over the Trump RICO case. So that's three judges that were directly involved, intimately involved in election investigations that, got promoted to judgeships afterwards that were not judges beforehand. In fact, only one was a practicing lawyer. Then I discovered this morning, I got a text message from someone in Voter GA, texted me over and said, hey, you should look into the judge that, presided over our case in the appellate courts. And so I did. And there's a judge named Andrew Pinson, who was a court of appeals judge in Georgia. And he upheld the lower court standing that Garland Favorito in the Caroline Jeffords case did not have standing. Okay. This would have ultimately get overturned, in the Georgia Supreme Court. But it was Judge Pinson who was part of the appellate court that ruled that Garland Favorito and his group did not have standing to bring the case. He would get promoted to become a Georgia Supreme Court justice after just 1 year on the appellate court, just 1 year. And the kind of the icing on the cake, Brianna, is that when Garland's case went to the Georgia Supreme Court, he had to recuse himself because he had just presided over it. And he had to watch the Georgia Supreme Court overturn his own appellate decision. So, you know, kind of justice right there. But yeah, I'll land that there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I kind of want to talk about why this would happen in the first place, because you know, I've been floating this around for many, many years now as to why Kemp's office, when we went there with the signed affidavits that I was showing at the open of the show, I was talking about specifically 40,000 Georgians who were alleging claims of election fraud or just issues with voting on election day. And when we showed up to Kemp's office, I mean, his staffers literally laughed. They didn't know that I was a journalist. I was just in the background watching and observing. They were laughing at these people and thought they were jokes. And it wasn't until I spoke up and said, we need some type of document or some type of receipt back to make sure that you guys acknowledge receiving all of these, did they take it a little bit more seriously. And I followed up several years now and they continue just to distance themselves from it completely. Why do you think Kemp's office is, because like you just outlined something that sounds like, and again, these are just allegations, potentially like a pay to play scheme, right? If you kind of lean the way that Kemp wants you to lean, you might get a nice little cushy appointment. Why do you think this is all happening in the first place? Because a lot of people, like you just mentioned, Caroline Jeffords, there were so many incredible people who were trying to fight locally. And she's someone who lives in the state of Georgia. So when they said that she couldn't actually file the suit, to me, it was bizarre that she didn't have standing because she's actually a resident in the state.
Yeah, it's remarkable. You know, Georgia, like you said earlier in the introduction there, Georgia has always been one of the most blatantly obvious states that there was massive malfeasance, maladministration, and flat out election fraud. And all of this is now coming to light thanks to a group, you know, Kevin Moncla, Joe Rossi, Garland Favorito, Bob Covert. There's an incredible group, Holly Kessler, David Cross, yeah. Phil Davis, just an amazing group that's been working on this. And so much is coming out that was covered up during, you know, the time frame between 2020 and where we're at today. And, you know, things like the judicial appointments, the grand jury transcripts, we've just begun to get into the grand jury transcripts. I'm sure there's going to be a ton of bombshells to be uncovered in these, you know, a malicious prosecution, a political prosecution against a former president. And how much of this stuff, I mean, I would think that it's exculpatory evidence that the GBI director was told by the governor not to investigate, you know, compelling claims of election fraud. That is unbelievable to me that, you know, we the people don't have any voice in that regard. That would have been completely obfuscated from us if Judge Scott McAfee, ironically, didn't unseal these transcripts.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's something that is quite interesting. And as we sit here and watch the raids take place in Fulton County, I know there's a bit of a back and forth too on that. I kind of want to get your take on this as well. Fulton County is now looking, they filed a motion yesterday seeking the return of all files from the 2020 election that were confiscated during that FBI raid last week. It sounds like to me that they might be a little concerned. I mean, what would be the purpose of them trying to get back those ballots? It's talking about something that was 6 years ago. Why would there be a need for that?
That is a fantastic question. And, you know, the ballots, we're always told, you know, I covered the Curling v. Raffensperger case in Atlanta. I was there in the courtroom. And, you know, we're always told, well, even if you're voting on a machine, there's still a physical paper ballot that you can see. But what we've come to learn over the last 4 years is that it's impossible to actually see them. You've had case after case, letter after letter, request after request, three subpoenas from the state election board. None of them have produced results. And finally, thank God, the FBI finally says enough is enough. We're executing a search warrant and we're taking these documents. You're not going to, you know, kick the can down the road for another 5 years on, you know, something that is going to prove whether or not we have free and fair elections. And I firmly believe that we do not. And so, yeah, this is a massive step what they're doing right now in Georgia, and they're terrified. You know, the chairman of the Board of Commissioners, Rob Pitts, is coming out saying, we're told we're going to be arrested. And you probably should be. Destruction of evidence, you know, failure to comply with subpoenas. There's just a ton of corruption that we're seeing right now get exposed. And it's stuff we've been talking about, you know, folks like yourself, you know, me, Gateway Pundit's been reporting on it. Badlands has been reporting on it. Heather Mullins, Wendy mm-hmm. Strzok Mahoney, like there's a fine group, a small group that has been reporting on this for 4 years. And we are going to be completely vindicated at the end of this, I think.
Yeah. And all those people you just listed are incredible people who have done an incredible job at covering all of this. And it's been quite the fight, and they've done an incredible job at just that. I also wanted to ask you too, by the way, folks, for our audience at home, if you want to read the full story that he just broke down for you here, you got to go to badlands.substack.com for that. Brian, I also want to get your take on something else too. Of all we got you here, we did learn yesterday that the Georgia Senate has now subpoenaed Fannie Willis's special prosecutor, of course, Nathan Wade. And so he's expected to now have to speak. What do you make of that? Because we heard from obviously Fannie Willis. I didn't see much when she testified recently come out from that. But are you a little hopeful now that they're going to force Nathan Wade to speak up?
It'll be interesting to see Nathan Wade, because based on reading the transcripts with Senator Perdue, I don't know how he's going to handle himself. I did watch the Fannie Willis, testimony, and it was a comedy show. You know, she is, unhinged. She is deranged. She is very self-centered. But I don't know what we're going to get out of Nathan Wade. And what's the scope of it? You know, is there going to be any mention of the testimony that he gave or that, you know, the questions that he gave during the examination of Senator Perdue? And is there more in there? Because I think we all know that this was a political prosecution where they covered up evidence, right? They literally covered up evidence. They would not provide certain, elements of discovery to the defendants in the case. And when that started happening, I knew right away that that case was going to go away. I said it the day that Harrison Floyd's attorneys said, what if we prove Trump won? I said, this case is going to go away because they don't want the 2020 election litigated. Mm-hmm. They just want whether, you know, Trump bad. They wanted that litigated.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was the real thing here. And I remember, you know, Jenna Ellis flipping very quickly. And, you know, we all remember that video of her crying. And I remember reaching out to a lot of the co-defendants too and asking them if they were planning on flipping. And they're like, there was nothing wrong here. We didn't do anything illegal. And we do believe that this isn't going to stand. So it was good to see, obviously, that crumble. But there's a lot of questions in Georgia that we hope will be answered very, very soon. Brian, thank you for joining us. You do an incredible job over at Gateway Pundit. And again, to our audience, you got to head on over to check out the full article. It's at badlands.substack.com. That's where you could see that. And Brian, we look forward to having you back on when you learn more while sifting through these grand jury transcripts. So thank you, my friend. We appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you for having me. God bless.
You as well. All right, folks, I want to gear up for a little bit of a discussion regarding Jeffrey Epstein. Let's give you an update on that. What's going on there? Chairman James Comer has just announced to Politico specifically, that they are potentially looking to subpoena Bill Gates. According to this, they say that there's a bipartisan group of lawmakers who are urging him to issue that subpoena so they can question the billionaire co-founder of Microsoft. We're certainly looking into that. Kind of how he described it to Politico. And we do hope that he does, in fact, because Bill Gates continues to go out there and say, oh, I was just a guy looking to fund my global health efforts. And that's the reason why I kept talking to Jeffrey Epstein, even though I knew he was a convicted pedophile. Yeah, that's believable. That's believable. Let's get him to say that under oath. Let's get Bill Gates to say that under oath. I dare you. If James Comer is actually doing what he is saying he's doing, then we shouldn't keep thinking about this. This should be done tomorrow. Get this guy to testify and to tell it under oath. And if he dares to lie, drag him off to prison. That's where he belongs. Interesting enough, too, there's medical records also that are coming to the surface in regards to Epstein himself. According to the latest findings, Jeffrey Epstein and his recently unsealed medical records from the Department of Justice reveal that he suffered from low T for over a decade. Poor guy. He also had issues with gonorrhea. Ain't that something? He was treated for gonorrhea, though, and they gave him antibiotics. Probably should have just left that alone, though. The records also show that he had parasites. Roundworm was one of them. Yeah, I'm sure that's the case. He had a lot of medical issues, and it actually adds up to what, and I'll spare you the details, what some of the details, though, in the grand jury testimony in Florida were all about. These young girls were specifically detailing what someone with low T would be like, and I'll leave it at that for you. But this all seems to make sense, and if they were making any of this up, how would they know? How would they know? Well, again, it all checks out. Now, whether or not they're actually going to do something on it, we'll have to sit back and wait. But the reality of it is yes, Bill Gates needs to be brought forward to Congress. Stop talking about it. Just do it. If it's bipartisan, if both sides agree, then bring him out there. Do it now. Do it now. I'm so fed up with this. This has been dragging on for far too long. Everyone who had any type of association with Epstein should be brought forward. Speak about it. Talk about it. Get it on the record. We'll see, though. We'll see how it all unravels. Here's an update, too, in regards to Governor Ron DeSantis and his wife, Casey. The DOJ has just reviewed a federal complaint stemming from a 2025 scandal involving Hope Florida Foundation, which is led by Florida's First Lady, Casey DeSantis, in a $10 million Medicaid settlement, but decided that it wasn't going to pursue charges. Apparently, they're just going to completely dismiss it. Now, the governor did tweet about it. Obviously, this is an article that was posted online. And it was quite the big scandal in Florida. So the DOJ is officially just saying, we're not going to file charges here. There's not much to see here. The complaint originated from a congressman who apparently filed this and alleged that there was potential misuse of funds that were tied to the Hope Florida group. The DOJ, again, dismissal in late 2025, early 2026, effectively ended the inquiry that was put forward. So again, Governor Ron DeSantis coming out, which sounds like a winner in that one. So that's a bit of good news. That's a bit of good news. Folks, we're going to keep you up to date on all the latest, though, right now. I'm keeping my eye to see when President Trump does begin to speak, because as many of you guys know, we mentioned in the opening of the show, but the president is scheduled to have his intelligence briefing at 11 a.m. Eastern time today. So we'll bring that to you when that does begin, of course. Sometimes they let cameras into the room. So a lot of interesting things usually are sent our way when they do just that. Again, folks, we got a lot coming up here in just a few moments. Dr. Mary Bowden will be joining us in a little bit. Interesting enough, there's a lot on the fight for ivermectin. Arizona is looking to make it something that you could just get. So you don't need a doctor's prescription anymore, which always sounds good. But I'm going to ask the doctor about that, because here in Texas, we said we did the same thing. But guess what? No one will give you ivermectin. So we'll ask her about just that. We'll also be talking about the very latest. And also, I want to ask her about that Chinese biolab. That story seemed to have taken off right after we started reporting on that, the one in Vegas specifically. So I look forward to getting her take on that. We'll also be joined by Sonia Labosco in the second hour of the program as well, because remember when they forced you to get those real IDs and like, you got to get it, you got to get it or else you can't fly? Well, TSA is now backpedaling. And if you don't get it, it's cool. Just pay us $45. So is it really about national security if you're looking to collect some cash for those who don't want to comply? Well, we'll ask Sonia Labosco just about that. Plus, we got more on the way. There is a small rural area in Texas that is now dealing with a Muslim takeover. Daily Caller is on the story. Mary Rook will be joining us in just a few moments as well. She'll be in the third hour of the program, and she's going to report on her very latest. Also, folks, we're going to be diving in and out of phone calls. So if you want to join the show, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Over the next 2 hours, I'll be grabbing some calls, covering some stories, and bouncing around. So call into the show if you want to jump on and give us your take. More on the way. Don't go anywhere.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule that should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris Seamoss Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. We're gearing up for the second hour of the program. But it looks like President Trump is actually still speaking over at the National Prayer Breakfast. Let's listen in.
That's great. A lot of bravery. No administration in modern history has done more to confront the plight of persecuted Christians around the world than we have with us. It's a mission. It's actually a mission. On Christmas Day, in close coordination with the government of Nigeria, we worked with them, but they got to get tougher. I ordered powerful airstrikes to decimate the ISIS terrorists who have been slaughtering Christians in that country by the thousands. It's not even believable. We hit them so hard, they still don't know what the hell happened. And we were going to do it on a different day. I said, no, do it on Christmas. So they understand it. Remember, Christmas was when I ran in 2015, when I announced, I said, we're going to bring back Christmas because the word Christmas was almost gone. And we did. People use Christmas anymore. We brought back the word Christmas. They didn't want to use it, and we're using it again. But I specifically told Pete, I said, hit him on Christmas Day. Not earlier and not later. Right, Pete? And, man, did he hit him. So, and we hit him again recently. We hit him again pretty hard. But we're honored to be joined today by the First Lady of Nigeria, who also happens to serve as a Christian pastor at the largest church in Nigeria, a very respected woman. First Lady, please, where are you? Thank you very much. It's a great honor. Thank you very much. Very respected person, too. Thank you. I'm also working tirelessly to end dangerous conflicts and help move past ancient hatreds. In October, I ended the war in Gaza, saving hundreds of thousands of lives. It's amazing. We have peace in the Middle East, by the way. First time in 3,000 years. We have peace. There are little embers, but it's nothing much. You know, we got back the last hostage, dead hostage. We got back all the hostages now, all of them. We got the 20, but we got many. You know, we got hundreds back before that. But we got back the last hostage, dead hostage, and Hamas helped us get it back. It was a big, big statement. Now they have to disarm. Some people say they won't, but they will. And if they don't, they're going to not be around any longer. But they agreed to disarm. As the Bible tells us, blessed are the peacemakers. That's true. Peacemakers are very important. But you can only have peace, I find, through strength. If you don't have strength, peace is very hard. And we have strength. In 1 year, I've ended 8 raging wars, such as Cambodia and Thailand, Kosovo and Serbia, Pakistan and India, Israel and Iran, Armenia and Azerbaijan. These are all wars that were President Putin called me up in Azerbaijan and Armenia. He said, I've been working 10 years to get that war. How did you do it? And I got it done. I got it done. 2 really good leaders. All they knew was fighting each other. They were fighting each other for many years. That's all they knew. And we got it worked out pretty quickly. A few months ago, right here in Washington, we signed a historic peace agreement between the Democratic Republic of the Congo and Rwanda, which provides the first ever pathway to peace to end a 30-year, unbelievably violent conflict. And we're joined today by a very, very brave and wonderful man.
All right, folks, the president's continuing to speak right now at the National Prayer Breakfast. We'll keep our eye on that. But again, we're going to be taking your calls, and we have a great lineup of guests joining us as well. So we'll be diving in and out of the calls. 877-789-2539 is the number to call if you want to join the show. Again, that's 877-789-2539. Don't go anywhere. More next.
Love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. A lot happening over here. Second hour of the show getting ready to kick off right now. Dr. Mary Bowden is going to be joining us in just a few moments, as well as Sonia Labosco, because we got a story about TSA that's going to probably get under your skin a little bit, especially for someone who was forced to obtain a real ID to fly in this country. Well, now they're doing an opt-out, and it's if you pay, you don't have to have your real ID, which is quite the unfortunate update in that regards. But let's buckle down. Let's talk a little bit about COVID. As many of you guys know, ivermectin was the big one. I remember when I was working at a media outlet, we had a doctor who was coming in. This is the very beginning of the pandemic. And this doctor was telling me, this was actually Newsmax at the time, but was telling me, Brianna, there's this medication that would fix everything. If you just took it, when you first got COVID, it'll be fine. It's called ivermectin. And he was right. His name was Dr. Hibbert. And he was somebody who was very aggressively trying to push that. And I actually was one of the first to jump on board with him on that. I participated in a study that was in Florida at the time where they were trying to see if COVID was treatable with ivermectin. And I took it and immediately had no symptoms after I got COVID. So it worked. And then I full on became a full believer. As many of you guys know, I lost my job at Fox because I didn't want to get the jab. But I knew I had natural immunity. There was no reason for it. Well, a lot of lawmakers are starting to catch on now in regards to ivermectin and the power that it does have. And they don't want your doctor getting in the way of you obtaining ivermectin. And that's the key thing here. So in Arizona right now, they're proposing a new bill, which so many other states have already pushed forward. But this new bill would make ivermectin available over the counter without a prescription or medical consultation. Folks, it's a big move right now, and it's one that's obviously welcomed. So joining me now to discuss is Dr. Mary Bowden. She is a fighter for medical freedom. She is also the founder of Americans for Health Freedom as well. And it's an honor, obviously, to have you on the show, Dr. Bowden. We're proud to have you on here today. You've been one of the very few fighters in all of this, and we're excited to talk to you about this. You know, ivermectin is something that a lot of red states have been pushing for right now so that clients, patients, they could just go to the store and pick it up. Here in Texas, we passed this a couple of months back, and I still can't get ivermectin for some reason. It's apparently up to the pharmacies on whether or not they want to give it to you and participate in this. So what do you make of what's happening in Arizona? Can we be hopeful that it might be a little bit easier to be able to get to obtain ivermectin when you're in need?
Well, the big problem is the FDA. Unless the FDA designates it as over-the-counter, mm-hmm. patients will not be able to get it without the pharmacists getting involved. And that's the problem we have, is that most pharmacists, despite the fact that it is technically over the counter or available without a prescription from a doctor, most pharmacists are still not willing to dispense it. So there are, Arizona is one of actually 19 states that currently have bills under consideration to make ivermectin available without a prescription. But what we really, really need is for the FDA to step up and just make it over the counter. It is incredibly safe. It literally is safer than Tylenol. I've prescribed it to thousands of patients. I've prescribed it in very high doses. It's very unusual to have side effects. I have more issues with antibiotics in terms of side effects. And people are speaking, if half the country is trying to pass legislation to make it available without a doctor's prescription, that should tell them something. There's also a petition that was submitted. I was one of the people that helped submit this petition to the FDA to make it over the counter. And this was submitted last summer. The FDA has done nothing. We did see Dr. Marty Makary comment that he was interested in making more drugs available to the public over the counter. And the logical first step would be ivermectin because, people had such a hard time during COVID getting it. It was like a little underground black market trying to get it to my patients. I've never seen anything like it with any other medications. And it should not be this hard.
Yeah. No, I mean, when I needed it, I was part of a study, they told me to go to a specific pharmacy, the only pharmacy that would give it to me without any pushback in South Florida, which is crazy when you think about it, because even with a prescription, these pharmacists were pushing back and weren't willing to give ivermectin. And so you had to go to a specific pharmacy that was okay with it. And, I'm hopeful that Dr. Marty Makary will jump on this. We both worked at Fox at the same time. And when I had left due to the COVID vaccine mandate that was being pushed, the New York City one specifically in that office, I mean, he was one of the very few who congratulated me privately for stepping away, but also standing up for medical freedom. So I think this is something that he would truly believe in. And so we do hope that the FDA does do just that, because it's so frustrating when you're trying to go to the pharmacy and you're just trying to get the ivermectin and you're not able to do so. And obviously you're well aware, because I know you put up a legal fight in regards to all of this, but the federal government under the Biden administration was pushing back on ivermectin, putting out a lot of disinformation intentionally to discourage those from obtaining it. For our audience that's not familiar with your fight on that front, can you detail specifically what you had to endure to get them to stop even flagging it as something that was utilized for horses and animals and to stop lying to the American people about that?
Yeah, the FDA set out to smear ivermectin. They put information on their website. They put information on their social media, basically branding ivermectin as a medication only suitable for horses. You might remember the infamous horse tweet is a attractive healthcare worker nuzzling a horse, and the caption said, "Stop it, you're not a horse, you're not a cow." And that tweet went viral. It resulted in it making virtually impossible for patients to get ivermectin. And so we sued the FDA over that, and it's very hard to sue the government and win, but we succeeded, and they were forced to take down the disinformation on their website and on social media. But unfortunately, the brand has lasted, and the FDA really should come out now and make a statement about how safe it is and how it is. It's been used in billions of people around the world. It's not just for animals. And the FDA could go a long way to restore their own reputation by setting the record straight on ivermectin, because incredibly safe and it should be widely available. It's over the counter now it's available without a prescription now in 5 states, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Idaho, and Tennessee. And as I said earlier, there are, I believe, 18 states with legislation trying to get passed. So virtually half the country is trying to pass laws to make this drug over the counter. It's truly unbelievable. We've never seen anything like it. It's become as controversial as the abortion pill, and it's completely ridiculous. It's so safe. And, like you said, it works. I mean, the moment I feel a cold coming on, I take it, and knock on wood, I have yet to get sick. We're finding new applications for it. It has a promising look for cancer treatment. So we really need to improve access.
Yeah. No, we do need to improve access. And I think that's one of the big parts here. So it's refreshing to see that so many states are getting behind this. We need to definitely, get some push to the FDA to also jump on board with this, because it's really, really important and something that I truly do believe in, especially because I know the miracle. I mean, I'm somebody who, when I get sick, I have breathing problems, need a nebulizer. And at the beginning of the pandemic, as soon as I took it, I had no issues. I had zero issues. And so this is something that I truly do believe in. And so this is good news to hear. I also want to get your take on this, because this is something that you posted that I actually had no idea about. And I live in Texas right now. 25% of the physicians in Texas come from outside of our country, which is quite bizarre, but this has roots to legislation that was pushed forward, sadly, by our legislator. It was House Bill 2038, the Doctor Act. Can you walk our audience through this? Because this is something that I was even unaware of.
Yeah, well, the Doctor Act is actually fairly recent. I think the infiltration of Texas by foreign doctors has been going on for quite some time. But it's now only going to get worse, because I believe it was last session they passed this bill streamlining the process for foreign trained doctors to get licensed. They used to have to repeat their residency once they got here. Now they're allowing them to get licensed without doing that. They just have to, I believe, pass some exams. But it's not like there aren't, American students clamoring to get into medical school. I mean, there are, plenty of medical applicants, American, that aren't allowed to get a spot. It's very competitive. So I don't understand why we're bringing in foreigners. I have nothing against, I know plenty of foreign trained doctors who are wonderful, but why not give priority to the Americans? Because there is quite the demand. And if there is a doctor shortage, then perhaps we need to, increase the training, spots, build another medical school, build more residency slots. I mean, that should be the solution, not import our doctors from other countries. And I hear all the time from patients how difficult it is to understand a lot of the doctors who, they can speak English, but not very well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a big problem. That's a very big problem. And it's something that we have to deal with. And I do hear from individuals all the time about how we do have a shortage of doctors. And it's obviously very pricey, but it's also, we do have a lot of hoops you have to jump through to become a doctor in this country. And so I think we should be encouraging more Americans, though, to continue on that path. I know I have a soon-to-be brother-in-law who's going through the process, and it's taken him years to do this. And so this is something that's obviously deeply concerning and something that we should be working for and encouraging others to jump on board. So thank you for putting this on our radar. Before you go, Dr. Bowden, I want to get your take on this, because this is a big story that we jumped on pretty early on. We've been covering a lot of the bio labs all around the country, and those that are legally occupying space and those that are illegally occupying space. We just recently learned about one in Las Vegas that apparently has ties to a Chinese national who's currently right now actually in jail for another one that was open in California. Now, that California one had a lot of deadly viruses that they had. And this is concerning for a lot of Americans, because again, this is a Chinese national who may have been using Chinese funds, CCP funds, to do these kind of projects. What do you make of all of this? Because most Americans are very on edge. We saw what happened, obviously, with the Fauci labs, but this is illegal labs being run by Chinese nationals. I mean, this is a big, big issue.
Yeah, from what I understand, the owner of that lab is not legally allowed to be in the United States. He doesn't have a visa. He fled from Canada, but he is in prison, and I'm not sure how they're just now discovering this biolab. It's the second one that they've discovered. The first one was in California, and he was behind that as well. It's terrifying. It just speaks to the fact that we need to be very careful who we let in our country, so things like this don't happen.
Yeah. And we're keeping our eye on this, because obviously, this is a big one. And I see reports that a lot of people are suggesting that this isn't just a one and done deal, that they might believe, well, they believe that there's hundreds of them across the country. So, the FBI also confirming that they'll be investigating that as a top priority for them as well. Dr. Mary Bowden, thank you for joining us today. It's an honor to have you on. You're one of the original fighters for medical freedom, and we greatly appreciate all that you've done in this movement. So thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Always a pleasure, folks. We are going to be taking some calls right now. We're going to be going in and out of the calls, taking guests, and doing just that. So let's tee things up. I see that we have Savage Dog on hold right now. Welcome back to the show, my friend. You're like a co-host to the American Journal these days. How are you?
Good morning. I try not to, but man, something tickles me and I'm like, all right, I got to call.
We welcome it.
Look, if you ever look at my topic, go, let other people go. I mean, I'm trying not to hog everything, but, what was it? Oh, I got a funny story before I go into my thing about ivermectin. When it first came out, you know, in 2020 about ivermectin, I never heard of it. And then they're all like, horse paste, horse paste. Well, I lived in a really rural part of West Georgia at the time, and we had a feed store. So I went to the feed store to see if I could get some horse paste. Back then, I think Harrison had on a doctor. Oh, the African lady. She had a formula. Like, if you get a tube of horse paste, this is the formula you use to dose yourself. So I went to the feed store to see if I could get me some horse paste. And the owner, you know, was there and said, well, look, I can only sell you two because everybody's coming in and getting this, but we also need it for horses who need it. So, and then he also confided in me. I got two tubes of it myself at the house. So, you know, we may be dumb rednecks over in West Georgia, but we get our medication.
But you shouldn't need horse paste. You should be able to get ivermectin from your pharmacy. Like, this is the crazy part, because people were getting sick, Savage Dog, from taking horse paste. And so
No, they were dying. They were lined up in that hospital in Colorado, mm-hmm. and emergency rooms were swamped with overdose of horse paste. No, it just tastes like ass. But apple flavor my ass. Anyway, but no, a country boy can survive. We get it done. So what I was going to talk about, the 2020 Georgia election thing. You know, the reason why they went after Georgia so hard to get the steal, even though it was like they had to even pull out water mains. We had two senators up in Georgia, and Arizona and Colorado both flipped Senator blue. But they had to get two senators Democrat out of Georgia, and they did it. And so that's why Georgia went so hard, and why, you know, they flopped it so hard. They just had to do everything they could to get hundreds of thousands of votes. Now I do have a question, and I did want to, you know, say something to Mayor Giuliani when I was talking to him. If this turns out to all be true, will he get his stuff back? Or, you know, no, he won't, because that mother-daughter team already sold it, doing whatever. They probably live in the Bahamas or something. But, you know, what kind of recourse does he have?
Yeah.
And maybe if Robert Barnes or somebody was on here, you know, but...
Yeah.
You know, I just feel bad that he got hit so hard with those two scumbags suing him.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, he might own... He might have a lawsuit against the state, and I'll give him my tax money, no problem.
yeah no, he's a fighter. And you know, it was a pleasure to have Giuliani on the show when I was in West Palm Beach. I also went on his show too. He's a complete fighter. He's an amazing person, and it breaks my heart that he had to endure all of that. I mean, he's lost everything. This is the thing, though. They want people to fear. They want people to fear going out there and challenging their elections. You, as the American people, have every right to challenge an election, by the way. So there's that. But folks, you know, you're right, Savage Dog. I hope he can. If we could finally prove what's been going on, I hope he gets it back. I don't know if they would have it. I don't know if they would have spent it by now. I don't know what the legal fight for that is. But yeah, I'm hopeful.
Well, I mean, like the rings. He had a bunch of sports rings.
Yeah, and, I know the Yankees World Series rings. Yeah.
I mean, you could trace those. You could figure out where they are and make the state restitute whoever has them now.
Yeah.
To get it back. You know, I'm sure he knows how to litigate a lawsuit. So good luck to him on that, because I know this is about to be a poop storm.
Yeah.
It's about to get fun to watch. And I hope we can get it done before the midterms, because if we get it done before the midterms, all this fear mongering about, we're going to lose the House and impeachments and blah, blah. And no, that's not going to happen, son. If they go after California especially, I mean, how many House seats did we lose in California because they kept voting, or they kept counting votes after Valentine's Day this year or last year? You know, I mean, it's retarded. And Oh, I'm sorry. Am I not allowed to say that word?
Oh, Savage Dog. We can't censor you on here. That's for sure.
Hell no, you can't.
No, we can't. We know that. Thank you for calling in, my friend. I always appreciate hearing from you, of course. And thank you again. Let's turn to Tim in California. Tim, welcome back. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Brianna. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Just, you know, we're having more casualties here from the Epstein emails. Another one is Casey Wasserman. That's a male, C-A-S-E-Y. You know, Casey Wasserman. He's the chairman of the Los Angeles 2028 Olympic Games. The problem is they found emails between him and Ghislaine Maxwell where he's talking about, I want to see you in your tight leather outfit. And she's responding playfully back with him and so forth, too. So they were clearly pervs. And then it went on to say that, yeah, he did actually make a trip to the island, although he said he'd never had a personal or business relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. And he did acknowledge that he did take a trip with Epstein on his plane, but it was during a humanitarian trip, you know, with the Clinton Foundation. But he distanced himself from any wrongdoing. But, you know, the bottom line on this is now even L.A. is thinking maybe you're going to have to quit. It's not that you're doing a really bad job of the Olympics. That's not what it is. It's these emails. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's been a crazy one. It's been a crazy one, my friend. And it's interesting to continue to follow. So we'll be doing just that. Tim, you have dogs, Tim?
Yeah, that's my mascot, although his name is Rocky. Rocky the dog. He's excited because the mailman has come with an early delivery. So he wanted to alert me to let me know he's at the door. He's at the door.
Tim, he sounds vicious. I would never go near your door. I'm sure he's like my pups. Probably, what, 15 pounds, 20 pounds?
Yeah, exactly. He's a half. He looks like Benji. You know, Benji the movie dog? That's what he looks like. He's half poodle and half chihuahua. But he looks just like Benji.
Aw, I love
anyway,
that.
Sorry for the interruption from Rocky, but he says hello.
Listen, dog interruptions are always welcome here on InfoWars. It's the one thing that we could all agree on both sides of the aisle, and that is that our dogs are our world. Thank you for calling in, Tim. As always, we greatly appreciate it. Folks, we're going to be taking your calls as well. So buckle up, stay put. If you're on hold, wait right there. Got a lot going on here. We're going to be joined by Sonia Labosco in just a moment. Sonia is going to be talking about a lot of important things, a lot of important bills that are up all across the country, but most importantly, how TSA is going to let you opt out of the Real ID if you just cough up like $45. Yeah, remember when they told you that you had to get them because it's for national security reasons, but now all of a sudden it's looking like a money grab because you can opt out if you cough up enough cash, which is quite the interesting revelation. Folks, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Yesterday we just launched the Optimal Human Hydration Packs. As many of you guys know, those are our electrolyte drink mix. It also includes French sea salt. This is a great way to start your morning every single day. Electrolytes is something that we need, and this is something that will keep you hydrated, of course, and give your body the vitamins and minerals that it needs to possibly not deal with things like brain fog, headaches, fatigue, cramping, and other things. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. The price is incredible, too, and you subscribe. It's better than most retail stores that you go into, so head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We also have those energy shots, which I think if you pair with the hydration packs, is probably going to be the best option to starting off your day every day. It's Mind Fuel Energy Shots, no caffeine, all the vitamins you need to keep going. It will help get rid of brain fog and so much more. So head on over, improve your health with the AlexJonesStore.com's assistance. And we also have our new rolling sales going on right now. So items are discounted and the discounts vary. So head on over right now, TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, methylene blue is incredible.
and we have the very best you're going to find anywhere at thealexjonesstore.com. What it's done to my clarity, my mind, my focus has just been wild. My workouts have been so much better. We have the best, Ultramethylene Blue, at thealexjonesstore.com. Here's what some of the guests on the show experienced when they took it, and Joe Rogan and others talking about my transformation that Methylene Blue has been a big part of.
How is Alex doing these?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big...
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for fucking hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger.
I saw Alex Jones, and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight.
Taking back my health.
You're so good. That's the only impression I could do.
Hey, Alex looks good, man. He lost some weight. He looks good.
Dude, he looks fucking great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked, showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene Blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene Blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about Methylene Blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With Methylene Blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. Let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us. Second hour of the program. Got a lot going on here. Sonny Labosco will be on with us in just a moment. But we just got an exclusive coming to us from DHS. Folks, DHS just handed us an exclusive that we wanted to bring you the very latest on right now. DHS is telling us that they have added an additional 5,000 criminal legal aliens to their website, which is the worst of the worst database. They recently launched this database to show the American people that they are, in fact, getting rid of some really awful, awful human beings. And so now they've just added another 5,000 criminal legal aliens to that platform. Now, this update means that there's a total of 25,000 individuals featured on the website, providing a more of a representative snapshot of the criminal legal aliens that have been arrested under the Trump administration. Now, you could do this yourself. You could go to the website, search yourself, and see the people who are being arrested. I tell you all the time about these emails. Well, you guys could look yourself. It's wow.dhs.gov, and you go through all the creeps that they've rounded up. And I've put up a couple of new ones, so you guys all know, but just some overview of their, you know, mugshots. These people that you're seeing on your screen are convicted sex offenders. Some of them are even convicted of homicide. And they were allowed into this country. One individual was apparently accused of and convicted of fondling a child. These are the kind of people we've let into our country, DHS trying its best to be as transparent on that front. And they have just given InfoWars this exclusive as to the new 5,000 individuals who are being added to that database that you guys all at home could look up yourself. All right, folks, let's talk about TSA, because I know many of us were, well, we were a little upset. You know, I've got a big beef with TSA. I've sued TSA. I go after them quite often. DHS still likes me, though, but they understand where I'm going with this. TSA, not my favorite agency. Actually, I don't really have a favorite agency. But there was a big story that you may have seen at the airport. They pushed you to get your real ID. But if you didn't have your real ID, we thought you weren't going to be able to fly. But now TSA has signs up that say that, all right, you don't have your real ID. Guess what? You can just pay us $45. We'll let it go. Let it go. No, seriously, that's what's going on right now. It started on February 1st. So that big biometrics grab to make sure you got your real ID, well, apparently it was for nothing. Joining me to discuss is Sonia Labosco. She dislikes TSA. I don't know if it's the same as me, Sonia, maybe a little bit more, but she's the executive director of the Air Marshal National Council. She's also a retired supervisor for the Federal Air Marshal as well, and she joins us now. Sonia, this was it got a good laugh out of me when I was walking through the airport last week and I saw the sign that you could just pay $45 and you could be on your way. There was that big push that was really unfortunate about the getting your real ID. And now it looks like this could possibly just be a money grab, nothing more. What do you make of it?
Well, Brianna, when you're having to wait for that real ID check at TSA and you're paying $45, I got a great book for you to read. So if you want to spend some time in the airport right here by our own Brianna Morello, wonderful book. So ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you, she did a great job. But talk about a money grab. You're very welcome. With the real ID, TSA started this February the 1st. It's a $45 online payment that you must pay through the Treasury Department. And that $45 fee is for their TSA verification ID check program. So that $45 is going to go back to TSA's fund for the real ID check verification. And TSA is stating that this is to relieve the taxpayers of the money that they're spending because people aren't prepared when they come to the airport. So there's about 2.3 million passengers each day that fly. Historically, it's been about 0.1% to 0.02% that don't have a real ID. That's anywhere from 2 to 7,000 passengers a day. So TSA is going to bring anywhere around 3 million to 10 million a month off of this program.
Yeah, so it's ultimately a money grab, right, Sonia? I mean, there's no other way to look at this. I mean, and they pushed all of us to get these real IDs, and it just seems to be a big payout for them.
Well, it is. And if you look at that, you know, TSA, and maybe you can get them to give a comment, Brianna, what are they going to do with the money? It's going to go into their real ID check program. But where does that money really, really go in the budget? You're looking at bringing in probably, over $100 million. In 2026 regarding this program, where is that money actually going to go to relieve taxpayers' cost?
Yeah, well, that's a big problem here. And, you know, Sonia, you and I have worked together on the biometrics issue. I mean, I've been very fired up about the biometrics that they do capture at TSA. We've done some, you and I, we team up on a lot, but this was a really important story. We talk about this. Do you have any insight as to what the big push for the Real ID was? I've had people on the show who have pretty much said the Real ID push is something just to get us more on this global WEF infrastructure so that they could have the access to our information on a global level. Do you have any insight as to what these real IDs, what the push internally was really all about?
That's the push, Brianna, to be tracked no matter where we go, within the United States or even foreign travel as well. So this is just another big grab to get our biometrics to force you. If you don't have a real ID or proper ID, it doesn't mean that you're not going to fly, as you said earlier.
Yeah.
All this is, this isn't your ticket to go through security. This stops you at the verification desk. And there are situations where somebody may lose their wallet or there's a mismatched ID somewhere, an expired ID. There are times that maybe this would be appropriate. But just to say, if you don't have the documents that we want, you're gonna pay us and we're gonna let you fly anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's the big issue here, Sonia. I'm gonna reach out to TSA again. They love hearing from me. They're actually very friendly with me over at DHS. They do appreciate me reaching out with stuff like this. So, we'll find out where that money's actually going to, because I think that's really, the key story in all of this. I mean, this is so frustrating to see this. I was like, you guys gotta be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. So this is a big one. We'll keep following it, of course. Sonia, I want to ask you, because I know you do a lot of work, obviously, as the executive director for the Air Marshal National Council. You do a lot of work with those in our federal government, those in law enforcement as well. And so this is something I know you're passionate about. Arizona's SB 1391. This is something that's supposed to support law enforcement's mental health. And they're looking to bring this forward. This is a good piece of legislation. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I'm really proud that this passed appropriations yesterday, Brianna. With the Air Marshal National Council, we contract with Under the Shield, which is a mental health and wellness program based out of Arizona. The founder is Susan Simmons. She's been helping law enforcement for over three decades now. And we always believe our law enforcement officers, we call them a tactical athlete, right? They are out there on the street every day working, doing the job that's very thankless in many ways. And during that time, they're accumulating stress from the time they're a new recruit, 1 to 5 years on the job, to the time that they're, you know, moving up for a promotion somewhere as a sergeant or a detective. They're accumulating stress over the things that they have seen and the calls they've responded to, whether it's a child that has passed away, you know, family situations that are just absolutely horrible, traffic accidents where people don't walk away and you're there on the scene with these individuals that have expired for hours doing an investigation. That stress accumulates. So we love the fact that Under the Shield is going to work with this appropriations in Arizona. Arizona is very proactive about law enforcement wellness and health. And I'm just so glad to see this bill pass, and shout out to Susan Simmons and her team at Under the Shield, because I can attest to you, they save lives.
Yeah.
Well, we have referred many air marshals over to them.
Yeah. Well, Sonia, I want to get into that a little bit, because there is a lack of mental health treatments and services for those who are on the front lines of all of this. You know, I can only imagine when I worked in local news, we'd have the police scanner going constantly. And it was a lot of suicide calls that I knew that the local PD in South Florida was responding to. And it was very, very common. I could only imagine the type of trauma that they have to endure when having to view that, whenever having to obviously investigate that. That obviously is something that I fear for their long-term mental health. What is it like right now for law enforcement officers across this country when they do have a traumatic event? Are there services even offered at the federal level to assist?
Well, there are services. A lot of departments may have an in-house psychologist or a program, but you have to look, the moment that that officer goes to that EAP program within the agency, those reports are discoverable back to the agency. So many officers won't go and seek that type of help, or they won't do that because there's going to be a record that they may be having a hard time, or they may be considered weak within the department if someone else knows in the department that they're seeking professional help with the psychologist. Also in the federal government, unfortunately for the air marshals, we've experienced 24 air marshal suicides. In the 25 years of protecting this country, we've lost 24 of our own to suicide. So it's a place that's very close to my heart, going to funerals and watching your colleagues die and kill themselves. We have to dig in and do better. And Under the Shield's doing that for us, Brianna. There is hope. And I'm just very grateful to be part of this process to bring some type of comfort, not only to the officers themselves, but Under the Shield counsels the entire family unit because, you know, when there's cumulative stress, you don't just drop that off at the door when you go home. So it affects the entire family.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is something that should be top priority and you just don't leave it. It sits in your mind. I can only imagine what they've had to endure. And it truly is heartbreaking to hear, but I'm glad that we're starting to work on this and address these issues. And I know you're going to do a great job at that. Speaking about mental health and just health in general, I wanted to get to the story. I know this is also another one that's close to your heart. Mike Hugo, who is an individual who was diagnosed with cancer. I believe I read his story. He found that after a seizure that he had a golf ball sized tumor in his brain. He's fighting for medical freedom, the right to try law. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Wow. This gentleman, Mike Hugo, please, in the audience, please let's Google his name or Brianna, if you can host some of his links. This young man, he's 45 years old. He's incredible. Prior to getting diagnosed with brain cancer, he ran 11 Ironman triathlons. 11. Think about that. It's incredible. But in Mike's journey, he was, you know, terminally ill with brain cancer. And he wanted to use the right to try. And because he had the financial resources for alternative medication, you see him now. He's still alive. The average lifespan for the type of stage 4 aggressive brain cancer that Mike had gave him a life expectancy from 8 to 14 months. So a little over a year. He is now 4.5 years later and living a miracle. He's a walking miracle. And we need Mike. We need the right to try. President Trump signed that into law in 2018. Unfortunately, there is a big push behind the scenes in the medical field not to accept this right to try. But Mike was one of the fortunate ones, and he's going to use his miracle to save lives because lives can be saved if patients are giving the ability to use right to try and that their doctors and the manufacturers of the medication they need are willing to try to help them. So he's got a wonderful story. I would love to get him on your program, Brianna, yeah. And let him talk to the audience. These are the people out in the world doing the good things, and Mike Hugo is one of those guys.
Yeah, well, Sonia, we'd love to have him on the show to talk about that because I think it's fascinating and I think it's a great cause to advocate for because so many people, when they have nothing to lose, you might as well let them try. You might as well. I mean, there's nothing there to hold them back, and if they're willing and able to do just that, we should welcome them with open arms. We will extend over an invitation to have him on the program because I'd love to hear everything that's gone on in his life. Obviously, he's got a young family, so this is obviously devastating, but this would be great too for even RFK Jr. To meet with him. I think that would be an incredible meeting and for him to advocate on the behalf of so many Americans who are facing these battles, Sonia. So we look forward to that and reaching out to HHS as well. I will do just that after the show. So Sonia Labasco, thank you as always for joining us. And you know, you do a great job at promoting my book, but also just being a great outspoken leader on X, folks. So give her a follow. Labasco Sonia is where you could find her on X. And she does a great job at calling out all of the people who are doing their very best to push back and to prevent us doing what the American people voted for this administration to do. So she does a great job at that, representing a lot of great federal agents as well. So thank you, Sonia, for all the incredible work you do. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Brianna, and I appreciate you highlighting all the important good work that's going on in our country right now. We've got some real heroes out there bringing the ground truth every day. So thank you for showcasing their efforts.
Yeah, and Sonia, you're one of those heroes. So we appreciate you as always. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. Folks, by the way, the Melania Trump book is available right now on Amazon. If you want to check it out yourself, feel free. Sonia's got herself a signed copy of that book. The rest of you. Good, head on over to the app. It's a great on Amazon. It's a great get. If you want to put something on the coffee table, tick off all your liberal family members. We put it together. It's a photo book that I pieced together of my favorite Melania Trump look. She's obviously a woman who is extremely elegant and gorgeous. She's also very intelligent. So head on over to the Amazon. And if you want to search, just look up my name. Brianna Morell will pop right up. All right, folks, we got a lot going on in here, but I got some calls. Let's jump to those callers right now. I see Bulldog is on hold. Bulldog, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ms. Morello, how are you this morning?
Doing well. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm making it. First thing, Ms. Morello, I was wanting to speak with you about, y'all been talking about the ivermectin. Old timers know about that stuff. I remember my grandpa used to, when he had the ivermectin, he'd take it every morning. The other thing about that is, you know, people are like, well, it's only for horses. Well, You know, I'm not giving out medical advice, but a can of Copenhagen tobacco is good for your horses to deworm them. Next thing, if it is proven that the 2020 elections were rigged, stolen, I think it was Warnock that was in Georgia. If there's any fraud in his case down there for his election, what happens with that whole process? Does that go back to where they automatically have to step down and then it's a rerun for the voters? And then the last thing that I was wanting to talk about was Real ID. All this stuff that's going on with this Real ID, you know, you waste American taxpayers' time and money. If this is going to be the case, I think we need to be reimbursed for our cost to have to take the time to go get the Real ID, because I know my wife, she went through a whole process with that. And, you know, I think we should be reimbursed for that.
Yeah.
And with that, that's all I have.
Well, you're not alone, my friend. It's so infuriating. When I saw that that was last week when I was flying back, I was ticked off. I was very, very upset. Because we were all told that we had to get it. And I thought it was one of those things where if you don't get it, you're not going to be able to fly. I mean, I did all the stories regarding the illegal aliens who were allowed to fly. They didn't have any IDs at all. But now they made this a top priority. So it has me fired up. It has me fired up. Bulldog, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it as always. I want to turn to Chad in Minnesota. Chad, I hear you're a big Thomas Massie fan, so welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning. Before Thomas Massie, the ivermectin, wow, it's great to hear all these stories, backgrounds and people going through what they had to go through. I personally had to go through it myself being in Minnesota. But I ran across around 2020, somewhere early in 2020, Rudy Giuliani actually had Dr. Zelenko on. And he was talking about how hydroxychloroquine at the time was an ionifer and that it would take zinc and move it where his combination, what he was doing with his treatments is taking zinc and getting it into the cell membrane. So basically just taking the ions or the transportation of ions and moving it into cell membranes. And when he talked about ionifers, I said to myself, well, I think quercetin is an ionifer. So I started taking quercetin because I couldn't get hydroxychloroquine, couldn't get ivermectin until I ran across somebody that took a big chance here locally and was a compounder. And basically she was kind of out of the matrix. So I got connected with a clinic and got my hands on ivermectin, which was great. So I'm paying homage, rest in peace to Dr. Zelenko. Great man. His products are awesome as well. But in regards to Thomas Massie, you know, I think all the information that has come out is pretty much because Massie stuck with the plan with the Epstein Files Transparency Act. And it's funny how he's, you know, recently been under attack once again. And there was if you see on his ex, he talks about that attacking his wife, the recent comments. And he said maybe someone should, you know, have told Trump that she's actually the one who suggested I ask Pam Bondi in person at dinner when we would get phase two of the Epstein files. Bondi said there were no more files. As they say, the rest is history. So I think we all owe quite a bit of respect to Thomas Massie and sticking in there and hanging in there. And the other thing is a lot of people have been calling recently about the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2013. Massie, a lot of people want it repealed. Massie has Bill H.R. 5704 repeal the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2013. It's awaiting further action or committee and consideration. He put it in October, I think, of last year. So, you know, here we go. The establishment and donors are, you know, doing their best to attack a good one.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Yeah. Well, Thomas Massie is one of the very few who actually believes what he says he believes. And I know a lot of the times now he gets a lot of pushback because he kicked off the president. But I feel like this is why it's important to have like an independent mindset to all of this and to actually talk to people. I think he was fighting the good fight. And it's at this point, it's like the personal digs. I mean, when we opened up the show, we're listening to the National Prayer Breakfast. And the president's putting a little dagger at Massey. I'm over the Massey obsession. It's too much. Everyone who has met Massey, I have not met him personally. I've not met the congressman personally, but I could tell you I've had brief interactions with him on X. He truly believes what he says he believes. Tell you that. He really does want to actually change this country for the better. And maybe he has a different approach to that. Maybe it doesn't necessarily fall into what you and I think is the best way to get there. But I don't question his intentions. I truly believe that Thomas Massey is one of the best that we have. And we don't have many. I mean, we just told you Barry Loudermilk, we have on the show, the chairman of the J6 committee. He's out. He's done. He's not going to run for re-election. And he's bowing out. There's a reason why this is a common theme, folks. This isn't just this isn't something that's just randomly happening. I think people are getting frustrated internally. I think they're tired of the back and forth. I think they're tired of the corruption. They're tired of just the swampiness that's not being drained in D.C. We keep hearing about, oh, we're going to drain the swamp. The swamp is swampier than it's ever been. I keep getting phone calls from folks who are just amazing patriots who left their private sector jobs, took a job in government because they're true believers. They actually believe what they say they believe. They took massive pay cuts. A lot of people took massive pay cuts. I mean, one person I spoke to was like, yeah, Brianna, I was pulling in like $1 million a year in the private sector. But I did this because I want a better future for my kids. That's why I'm living in D.C. now. Hate D.C., living here just because of that. We have so many incredible people who are in D.C. trying to fight against the machine. They're not high up officials, but they're trying. They're trying their best and they're calling and they are frustrated. They're angry at the political hit job that's being done internally. By the way, Ed Martin, if we could give you a little update, if you go to Ed Martin's X page right now, he actually just posted a very funny picture. It says, good morning. It's a picture of him with, get this, the deputy AG Todd Blanche. Looks like the two of them had a meeting. Wonder how that went. According to my sources, several people warned me that Todd Blanche's team has been trying to plant bad information in the media. I reported that exclusively. And so Ed Martin, every single day I wrote BFFs. That's probably not the case. But Ed Martin still, he's just a good guy. He's a very good guy. A very good guy. And Ed Martin is still going to go out there and fight the good fight, even though they're planting bad stories about him over at CNN and saying that Ed Martin's leaving. He's not going anywhere. You're going to have to drag him out if you want him out of the DOJ. But Todd Blanche sitting and smiling for that photo, of course. How sweet. BFFs. Ed Martin's one of the very few fighters we have. Also, if you could keep Ed Martin's mother in your prayers, she is battling cancer and she is enduring a lot right now. And so Ed Martin is asking for his fellow patriots to pray for his mother. And we highly recommend you do just that. I did today and I sent him my very best. He's a great person, a great person. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com because we just launched yesterday. This is a big one for us. The Optimal Human Hydration. It's the electrolytes drink mix. It contains French sea salt as well. So if you're someone who's looking to improve maybe your brain fog, get rid of some of that, your headaches, cramping, fatigue, a lot of that has to do with a lack of electrolytes. So you got to head on over right now to the shop. Grab these. I'm telling you, when you subscribe, the price is even better than what you're going to find in the retail stores. Best part about all of this, you're improving your own health, you're increasing the amount of water that you drink, which you all need to do, but even better, you're helping keeping InfoWars on air. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you snag yourself some of these. These are great flavors. Try it out now.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at thealexjonesstore.com. And they've had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives, and that's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high-quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it, so people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly, 4 or 5 great designs. They got a bigger shipment in just the last 2 days. Our sponsor, just really top-flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it, these sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $40-something bucks. Okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small. It's a nice little memento to support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on to your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the Murdered Out Black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire with Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest of any knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. I guess those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. But while you're at it, get Methylene Blue, Irish Sea Moss, and more. And check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.
That you're all jumping on board with us today. When I look over to what's going on right now on the Hill, it looks like the Treasury Secretary, Scott Benson, is actually testifying right now. He's in front of the Senate Banking and Housing and Urban Affairs Committee. Let's take a quick listen.
I have a number of purposes, but the foremost reason for tariffs is to try to stop other countries from taking advantage of us through either their tariffs or trade barriers. If Canada, for example, came to the United States and said, we're going to zero tariffs in the United States. All of them are off on our end. Would you, Mr. President, speaking to our president, go to zero tariffs and then just let Canadian companies and American companies compete on a level playing field?
Absolutely not. As we saw last week, When Prime Minister Carney went to China, he lowered tariffs on Chinese EVs from 100% to 6%. U.S. has 100% tariff on Chinese EVs. We couldn't let our northern border be used as a way for Chinese EVs to come into the U.S.
Right. Okay. I'm going to lead you a little bit because Senator Scott is a she-bear when it comes to time. The poverty rate, according to the Census Bureau, is 11%, isn't it, in America?
I'll take your word, Senator.
And that's the Census Bureau defines poverty, is it not?
Yes, sir.
Is it not true that the Census Bureau, in defining poverty, and determining that our poverty rate is 11%, or 36 million Americans, which makes us look bad, only will consider direct cash payments from the federal government to poor people, such as, let's say, SSI payments or TANF payments?
Correct.
Okay. And isn't it true that the Census Bureau, in determining poverty, doesn't include non-cash payments? Doesn't include Medicaid or food stamps or housing subsidies or refundable tax credits. Isn't that true?
That is correct, Senator.
Yeah. Now, let me give you an example. Mom, two kids, poverty level for her and her kids is $27,000. Mom works part-time. She makes $11,000. According to our Census Bureau, she's poor. She's below the poverty line. But she also receives, she works, I recall I said, makes $11,000 a year. She receives $4,100 in refundable earned income tax credits, $3,400 in refundable child tax credits, which means she gets a check, $9,200 in food stamps, $9,500 in housing subsidies, $900 in utility bill subsidies, $16,000 in Medicaid, $31,000 a year in free school lunches, and $6,000 in TANF payments. If you add that up, that's $64,100 a year, according to math.
I'll believe your arithmetic, Senator.
Okay. But using the Census Bureau's definition of poor, they don't include all these payments. They just include her income and the TANF payment. Does that make sense to you?
No, sir, and you should bring that up with the Commerce Department.
I know, but you've got influence. I know how close you and the Commerce Secretary are. I'm hoping you could bring it up with somebody above.
The President says we're opposites, and I'm tall.
I'm going to step in on this one. That. Obviously, this is a more friendlier back and forth, and I really do appreciate Senator Kennedy. He gives me a good laugh every time I see him on air. Folks, we got a lot going on in the third hour of the program. A story you're not going to see anywhere else. I'm too afraid to talk about it. We got it for you. You're just going to not go anywhere.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com, and thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there.
Ah! Yeah!
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. We'll get to your calls in a minute. If you want to join the show, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. That is the number you're going to want to call into. We'll be taking calls, dropping some stories. Update though. Okay. So DHS actually, like I keep telling you guys, they're one of my favorite agencies, and I'm very like anti-government, but you got to give credit when credit's due. When I reach out for comment, they respond very, very quickly. And I actually just reached out about our story that we covered with Sonia Labosco in regards to that $45 fee that they're now going to be charging you if you don't have a real ID. According to TSA, they say that this is going to the funds that they collect from this is going to go towards the verification program, and it should be in our release. So they actually put out a press release about this, and we'll get this up too as well. Of course, you want to be fair and balanced, but impacted travelers will have the option to pay $45 and use a TSA Confirm ID process. This fee ensures that those who are non-compliant travelers, non-taxpayers cover. Cover the processing for travelers without accepting acceptable ID. So they're looking to, I guess, get those funds back because I guess it's the process to verify who they are. So they're charging you, if you don't have a real ID, to cover the cost of what it would cost for them to process you in a separate verification process. So that's what they're angling here. But they also say to me that to avoid delays or missed flights, all travelers should obtain a real ID or another acceptable form of identification before heading to the airport. I disagree with it completely, but you know what? You got to give credit when credit's due. And I like the fact that they are actually responding. Something that didn't happen under the Biden administration. Let me just be clear. I had to sue them to get them to respond to me. And it was very, very costly, but I won. I'm a winner. All right, folks. I know I got some winners on the line right now. Let's jump to that. Let's kick things off first. Doug in Ohio. Doug, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Doug.
First off, I wanted to say that you nor Matt, the guy that you interview sometimes, you both don't have rings on your fingers, and you would be a cute couple.
Ah, thank you. Matt's got a gorgeous girlfriend. And she's bass too, so we like her a lot.
I'm not hip to the jive. So, but I also wanted to say that I hold a DOD SF-86 clearance, which is a certain security clearance. And my brother, at the age of 44, copped a felony weapons charge. And within 72 hours, I got an email telling me that I have to be deposed under oath in regards to whatever's going on with him. I haven't spoke to him in 6 years. And I find it very odd that something like this happens with my brother. The government immediately knows and wants to call me in for questioning in regards to what's happening with him. Yet we can't find anybody to arrest in the fraud in Minnesota, Ohio, or anywhere else. And judges, I firmly believe that judges are the ones to blame in most all of these cases. Michael Savage in 1995 put a bill together in California to override or get rid of, rather, affirmative action. And the people of California actually voted, literally voted to get rid of it. And the judge just signed it away. He said, no, we're going to keep it. So starting from then, you know, to now, where judges, you know, block certain things like anything to do with ICE or I'm scatterbrained. I'm so angry.
That's okay.
Point is that I worked for the State Department back in 2012 to 2016, and I've been to Mogadishu, and I've seen what civil war does to a country, and it's absolutely horrendous. But things that you, Alex, or anybody else can't say, there's people out there, as Trump would say, not me, but other people are saying, I think that's what needs to happen. I mean, you just said that the swamp is swampier than ever. I think that it's left, you know, it's called left wing and right wing because it's the same bird. And because of that, nothing's ever going to change. And furthermore, twice the people of this country, this great nation, didn't like what was going on. And twice they picked up arms, fought, bled, and died to make it better. And I think that it's, you know, between the waste, fraud, abuse, dirty, scummy judges, I'm trying to keep it clean for radio. I think that's exactly what needs to happen. And I'm sorry to say it because I've seen, like I said, I've seen what civil war does to an actual country. And I'm absolutely fed up. And also, to leave it on a funny note, maybe Jeffrey Epstein should have used Power Plant Plus due to his low T. I know that since I've been taking it, my testosterone went from 368 to 1004. I also lift weights and whatnot, but you know, I'm 40 years old. But your products work. I love the methylene blue. But yeah, I wanted to call and vent.
Yeah,
I appreciate you.
Well, Doug, we appreciate you and thank you for calling. Yeah, I'm like so over paying taxes, folks. Also, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and we appreciate the plug. We have a rolling sale going on right now, so a lot of your favorite items are on discount, and those sales are forever changing. So you got to check it out before your favorite item goes back to regular price. But Doug, you did a great job. I mean, it's so frustrating. I don't even want to pay tax anymore. I was having a conversation with somebody else yesterday, actually, who's like, why am I paying taxes? I mean, every year we do this little dance around, and there's really no reason for it at this point. We're overtaxed. It's not money that's going towards any of our causes. And we've had enough. We've had enough. So Doug, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. Folks, if you haven't done so already and you want to join the conversation, we'll be taking callers throughout this hour. 877-789-2539 is the number to call into. 877-789-2539. We'll also be joined by a reporter over at the Daily Caller in just a little bit as well. She's been doing a story. Her name is Mary Rook. She's been doing a story in regards to the Muslims that are looking to take over in a rural part of Texas. I keep telling you got to pay attention. They come in with these LLCs that you wouldn't suspect are Islamic or have any association with Islam, and that's how they're able to infiltrate. Well, she just caught another group doing just that, and they're looking to bring 20,000 Muslims to a rural area in Texas. She'll break down that report in just a few moments as well. Let's keep going back to some of these callers, though. Welcome to the show, Andrew in New Jersey. As always, welcome back.
The Muslims in Texas, the women would wear the cowboy hat over their hijab.
We won't allow that. We won't allow that, Andrew.
Yeah, I just want to say, speaking of funny things, so the dogs are cute. I always think when I see your dogs on Instagram of heavy metal like Motley Crue or you know, Whitesnake because they have the cool, like, spiky hair from the 80s. And just quick on COVID, on ivermectin, it was actually with Joe Rogan, CNN's own Dr. Sanjay Gupta. He said Rogan was right that CNN actually was lying about ivermectin, and he could sue them. So their doctor themselves admit they were giving out false information. And your colleague, Bo Snerdly, he's on WABC Radio. He was Rush Limbaugh's producer for a long time. He got vaccinated, and like so many, acquired COVID after he was vaccinated. And he said he was in terrible condition, and he's older and overweight. He has all comorbidities, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. And they gave him ivermectin, and he said within a day it was a complete turnaround, that he was like completely recovered from being in like critical care. So it's amazing. And I just want to say with the Super Bowl, too, the, you know, watch the Turning Point USA halftime, but I wouldn't watch the Super Bowl in general because it's not only the BLM aspect, but the anti-military with Troy Aikman, the announcer, former player. It was supposedly a hot mic. And he said when the fighter jets fly over, he said, well, that's not going to happen under a Kamala Harris-Biden administration because, you know, it's wasteful for the environment or whatever. But if it wasn't for the military, because they do that as recruiting, so they responded and said, we would do it anyway, just at a different time. So if it wasn't for the military, he wouldn't have the freedom to make billions of dollars in the NFL. So the hypocrisy of that. And also they would say end racism in the end zone, yet they have two white reporters when almost 90% of the players are black, and there's probably 10,000 black players that are qualified for those jobs. And when you see the reporting, they almost always have a black field reporter, which is a lesser role, like, you know, like the news anchor is like a higher gig. So they always, whenever they have a black reporter, it's always at that lower subservient role. And the one white guy, Moose Johnson or whatever, Daryl Johnson, he's not even good. He's just like a doofus guy. So the irony of that, and when they lied about hands up, don't shoot, and LeBron James in the NBA, I can't breathe. There's actually massacres in Chicago, and they don't talk about end racism. They should be talking about the massacres, the killings in Chicago, promoting school choice. So it's so the hypocrisy is great. So don't watch it. Have fun with your rock and roll dogs. Watch Turning Point USA and have a great weekend. If I don't talk to you, have a great weekend.
Andrew, Thanks. We appreciate it, my friend. Have a great weekend. And we love it when you call in. So thank you. Thank you. Yeah, there's a lot going on over there. I don't even watch the Super Bowl, folks. I don't even watch it. I don't. That's a long time ago. I gave up with everyone. Did you know, I believe this was years ago, I remember. I think to get into the halftime show, you actually have to pay, if I'm not mistaken. So just another reason not to watch it completely. All right, let's go back to the calls. Coldy in Wisconsin. I think I got that right. My eyesight's not very good. What's going on? Welcome back.
Hey, yeah, Colby like the cheese. Everybody likes Colby cheese. It's very versatile cheese, you know.
I like it.
But I don't. I wanted to talk about the Epstein documents, though.
Yeah, let's hear it.
And I think Epstein's alive. What's your thoughts on it? Do you think he's alive?
I don't know. So I know this is InfoWars, so I should have a take on this one. But I don't know. I don't know. I saw Alex's take on Betty Johnson's show. It's a good take. I'm just going to have to go with the fact that he's probably just dead. I've seen a couple of photos of people saying that he's alive and they spot him wherever they spot him, but it never really 100% looks like him. So I'm just going to go with he's dead to play it safe.
Yeah. Cause like there's a 4chan post that's been corroborated from a person at the jail saying that he was scooped in the early morning on a Saturday when they don't do transferred by like an armored prison van. You know, it kind of looks like a armored vehicle, but it's for the jails. And that day it was Twitter back then, but now it's X. There was a video in the morning of a vehicle driving from the prison to the private airport in the private jet leaving and apparently going to Tel Aviv, Israel. And I was wondering, and I wanted to bounce this idea off of you, Brianna, is like, why don't we get some video footage? Because I'm sure there's tons of cameras by the gate at that time between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. And then you can see if he was scooped up and transferred, or if he wasn't, then it would kind of be case closed.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any videos from that day. And since they don't do any other transports, apparently on Saturdays, according to the whistleblower, it'd be pretty obvious if someone's getting scooped up. You know, my whole thing is like, you know, Saddam Hussein, Hitler, all these people have body doubles and plans to fake their death and escape. And obviously Epstein having, you know, all this leverage on very powerful people around the world, from presidents to world leaders to rich people, you know, he's going to have an escape plan, multi-layered, you know. And then with the witnesses like who had him on blast, like Virginia Jeffrey dying in irregular circumstances, it seems like he's still operating. His email has been active, apparently multiple emails. And I just find it a little hard to believe. And I just would like closure, you know, on that. And I wish there was like a spokesman or a town call meeting where, you know, the feds can like describe what we're seeing here and kind of confirm things, because, you know, it's like they're saying people are cannibals.
Yeah.
And all these horrible things. And you can't just say that without and just leave us there. You know, like they need to have someone come on TV. Maybe Pam Blondie can come on and say, hey, you know, what you're reading is true. This is what happened. Here's a summary. Is there any question? But it's like we just get this massive dump all over us, and we just got to like kind of deal with it. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, so I think regardless of what the federal government tells us now, because they've discredited themselves. I don't know if anyone would actually believe them. I think that if they were to put out information, we would probably be very skeptical of it. I can tell you this. I've submitted FOIA requests. Specifically, though, through the Bureau of Prisons, which is run under the DOJ, I've requested his final phone calls. Those are obviously recorded. We've heard that he was on the phone with his brother prior to his death. And so I've asked for those details. I've asked for all of that. And unfortunately, they haven't brought it over. They won't give it to me. What they did respond, though, with, and I put this on X, this is months ago when I got the last response, the Bureau of Prisons saying that they actually have no records to send me. So I find it quite strange that Jeffrey Epstein's final moments, his final call, they don't have a record of it. The reason why I specifically asked for it is I wanted to hear what his tone was like, because we obviously have heard that he was, through his lawyers, were working out a plea agreement. So obviously that screams as someone who's optimistic of their release potentially soon. And so the suicide angle didn't make any sense to me. Didn't make any sense. But unfortunately, they won't give me any recordings. Yeah, what was that?
Brianna, I think a big issue, I don't know if you saw this, but it seems like a lot of people in the prison system and at the morgue and at the jail and with the DOJ is also involved.
Yeah.
You know, they have similar connections that I don't want to be bombastic, but, you know, like there's just it seems like it's a cabal, and that if you have that much money, I just have a few billions of dollars that you can just bribe people so easily. You see how, you know, even with $50,000, $100,000, I'm sure people would look the other way, unfortunately. You know, and if he's alive, obviously, and, you know, he's done all these things. You know, Trump needs to send a B-2 bomber and just JDAM wherever he's at, you know, and present the body. If he gets him, it would be bigger than Osama bin Laden, you know, if he presented the body. You know, but I think it's very suspicious. There was no DNA test done of his body. It was done, his brother came in and visually said that that's him, you know, which is also suspicious. It was right away removed, you know, so I think it's a deep rabbit hole, and we need to get to the bottom of this, because he's a Darth Vader. He's not an emperor. There's people above him, and the screams of the children echo in the night in all of our dreams, and we can't live in a world where this is occurring. It will contaminate spiritually, karmatically, the entire planet and destroy us all. I'll let you get the other calling.
So. Well, I appreciate you calling in. Yeah, I mean, we're going to keep our eye on it, obviously, keep reporting what's the latest. But, yeah, I don't trust the government. I don't think they ever give us anything that's going to be fair and balanced. By the way, I want to play this clip, too, just because President Trump, and we played one for you yesterday. Sadly, these comments continue to get made by the president. He spoke, again, in an interview. He spoke In clip 10, you're going to hear him talk about Bill Clinton. And again, he's speaking highly about Bill Clinton. Take a listen.
NBC News broke the story today. I don't know if you saw it, that the Democrats are already saying if you bring President Bill Clinton and he has to testify, we're bringing President Trump. What do you say to that?
Well, I think they might say that, you know, but they've already brought me. See, I've been brought. They had me indicted many times.
And the president had some surprising thoughts about former President Bill Clinton.
It bothers me that somebody's going after Bill Clinton. See, I like Bill Clinton. I still like Bill Clinton.
What do you like about him?
I like his behavior toward me. I thought he got me. He understood me. You know, he was the one that said very famously that you don't want to run against Trump when there were 18 people. It was 18 people, including me, total. And he kept telling them, you don't want to run against Trump. Run against anyone. Don't run against Trump. And Hillary sort of laughed at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're all laughing at this one. Bill Clinton is an evil man, a very, very evil man. And to be dismissive of Bill and pretend like there's some positive qualities about that man, no, hard pass. I will not participate in that. I don't recommend anyone in our audience doing just that either. Bill Clinton's a really toxic human being. Folks, if you're on hold right now, stay put. We're going to be jumping back and forth. We'll take more, too, in the next segment after we speak with that Daily Caller reporter I was telling you about as well. If you haven't done so already and you want to call into the show, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Let's jump. We've got about 2 minutes left. Sean in New York, you've got the last 2 minutes of this segment, Sean, and then everyone else, just wait. Don't hang up. We'll have you in the next, you know, segment as well. But, Sean, I want to give you the floor. You've got 2 minutes.
Captain Clown Car reporting for duty, ma'am. I would like to say that this Zora Mondani has made a total mess of New York City. It's now turned to black ice everywhere because the ice is melting and it's not going anywhere. And they're not salt in the streets, car accidents everywhere. It takes an hour to get somewhere you go in 20 minutes. That needs to be looked into, and there's got to be some kind of oversight board that makes sure that he is on top of sanitation and making sure that these ice melters, which they only have 8 for all New York State, from Albany down to the Hamptons, 8 ice melters for all New York State, when they knew at least a month in advance they were talking about this polar freezing and storm that was coming. So they knew. They just neglected to take care of it. And also, I want to give a shout out to my brother. He's a retired firefighter. His name is Joseph Lennon. If anybody remembers, on Super Bowl Sunday, maybe 20 years ago now, when Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake did their little thing where he rips off like the nipple pasty. Mm-hmm. So that morning is when my brother was in a fire in Brooklyn, the Macon Street Fire, they call it. And he got injured, and he actually was in cardiac and respiratory arrest for a while, which is the way we heard it over the main news source out here was 1010 Winds. They said that my brother had succumbed to his injuries, and turned out that he was put in a medically induced coma after he wasn't able to breathe on his own, and he's alive today. He actually went back, took the lieutenant's pass, made lieutenant. But, yeah, I just wanted to give a shout-out to my brother. And he's my hero.
I'm sorry.
He's alive. That's the crazy part. My brother's alive. And you could look up the story.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking, though, Sean. I'm sorry you went through that. I'm glad he's good, though.
Because here's the most heartbreaking part. Is he stuck by, you know, doing the vaccines and doing the boosters. And I kept begging him, bro, don't trust these people. And wouldn't you know, 3 months later, after he got his booster, he had a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And he had to resign from being on the force. And that broke his heart. So,
well, we're glad he's okay. We're glad he's okay. And, Sean, it's a pleasure, as always, to have you on the show. But, yeah, there's a lot of Americans, and there needs to be accountability on that, too, because that's not acceptable. It isn't. Sean, I'm glad to hear he's okay. I'm glad to hear he's alive.
He is. Thank God. And Zora Mondani screwing up New York quick fast. And they knew in advance, at least a month in advance, they were talking about it, promoting it, talking about it. So I think they really need to impeach this dude already. And also, he's the only person saying that these pictures of him and Jeffrey Epstein are Photoshop. You don't see any of this. Oh, this is fake AI, like they used to do the fact checkers and all of this stuff.
And also, it's Charles
Sean, it's cutting you off. We're up against a hard commercial break. I'm sorry about that, my friend. We appreciate you calling in, though. Folks, we got more to discuss in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. More on the way.
There's a popular online meme. Alex Jones was right. Well, I'm not always right, but I'm right about 98% of the time, and I strive to be right. And not just with the news and information we cover, my predictions, but with the products we bring you. And all the products at thealexjonesstore.com are amazing. But the most powerful, the one that 99% of people have basically instant results with, I bet like 3 people out of 500 I've given to that didn't feel anything, is our Ultra Methylene Blue, made in Florida and 10 times stronger, incredible energy, 99% of people within 30 minutes feel the energy, no letdown, and it's so good for your cells. Again, it would take hours to get into all the things it does for your body. Ladies and gentlemen, it's available right now, back in stock. Get yours, and it keeps this broadcast and what we do on the air, so it's a 360 win. If you don't get our Ultra Methylene Blue, you're really missing out, and it really is better than any methylene blue I've ever taken. Believe me, you're missing out if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com and get our Ultra Methylene Blue. It is simply insane.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy, he's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on Methylene Blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans, and we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP. And it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule. It should have two hydrogens on it. And like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1. It's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stop drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited to have you on the program today. A lot happening over here in the third hour, final lap show. We will be taking your calls in just a bit as well. So if you're on hold, stay put. We'll jump back to that in a little. But there's a story that I wanted to make sure was on your radar. We talk about this all the time, and I warn you guys, that I don't care if you live in a red state, you got to pay attention to what's happening in your communities, because we see constantly, we're seeing these groups, and it looks innocent at first. They buy chunks of land and they're doing it through LLCs and other individuals, and it doesn't look like anything that would be related to Islam. And then how quickly things turn. All of a sudden, then you realize that they're trying to build an Islamic community in your neighborhood. Folks, you got to pay attention to this. This is happening all over red states, and there's a reason for it, of course. Red states are obviously a desirable place for them because, number one, they do agree with us when it comes to education for children. They don't want any of the LGBT nonsense in their education, obviously, system. And most importantly, too, they appreciate that we are low-regulated states. But that's all the reason for you guys at home to be concerned and to be active locally to make sure this isn't coming up and popping up in your community. There's one rural area in Texas right now that's dealing with just that. It's in Kaufman County. And right now the Daily Caller has a story out. Mary Rook is with us now. She's going to detail her findings. But this has a lot to do with 2,000 acres that were purchased. And, you know, Mary, it's an honor to have you on the show today to break down this report that you have up on the Daily Caller now, because not a lot of people talk about this, and I like how you walk the audience through kind of the hidden backside of all of it. It started off with an LLC that doesn't look like it's associated with Islam at all, and now people are finding out the hard way, potentially, that they actually might get thousands of Islamic neighbors coming to their area very, very soon. So break down the latest report.
Yeah, so this came to my attention. First of all, I'm a lifelong Texan. I've lived here all my life. I'm a ninth generation Texan. So when the story like this kind of comes across my desk, I think to myself, okay, well, I got to run this down. Mm-hmm. And as I was starting to pull the threads on this one, it was shocking. So like you said, it starts with a farm selling off their land to an LLC solar company called Kaufman Solar. Kaufman Solar is actually an entity of, I think it's called Next Era. And they are one of the world's largest solar and wind energy companies in the world. So when you start looking at that, you're going, oh, well, they're just trying to break into Texas, you know, do the renewable energy, get the subsidies from the federal government, that kind of thing. It kind of looks harmless in a sense that they need land to do it. They purchased it. You know, Elon's talked about this several times. But then 2 years later, all of a sudden, you get another holding company coming in, and they're looking at land right across the street or road from this property. And the holding company is called SEE Holdings, and they're based out of Dubai. So, but they don't come in and say that we're the ones looking for it. Instead, they send a law firm from Dallas, Texas, which is the biggest city, you know, around Kaufman. And so when you send a Dallas law firm into a small town in Texas, they start to, you know, kind of just do what the law firm wants them to do. They think, oh, well, they're from the big city. We're going to kind of follow their lead here. You can see that in the Kaufman County Commissioner meeting. As I'm watching it, the law firm never states that they're representing SEE Holding, which is a Saudi Arabian company. They never mention what the development is going to be for, why. And the crazy thing about this is that they're asking the county for three separate water districts. And if you know anything about septic, anything about, you know, how much water it takes to funnel into a town, three separate water districts means you are expecting a large amount of traffic to come into that area. It's going to be a massive neighborhood is what they're trying to build there. So some reports are saying that they're going to put in a mosque. Some reports are saying it's going to be very similar to Epic City, where there'll be a mosque, a Muslim-only school, and Muslim-only neighborhoods. And I think that really frightens a lot of people there. The residents that I spoke to that wish to remain anonymous said their biggest worries are, do we even have enough water to funnel to that type of establishment? Especially during drought season. And then do we have enough social cohesion to fight back against this large amount of residents who aren't from our culture, don't represent Texas in any way, shape or form, and are going to come in and be a massive voting block against us? And then third, how do they fight back, you know, against the fact that it feels like their elected officials are keeping all of this secret? And I think the reason why they feel justified in that is because if you go back and watch these county commissioner meetings, again, they know what's going on. You can feel it in the way they're laughing and kind of joking with the lawyer. Like, you can feel it in the fact that there's no pushback. One of the commissioners essentially says, well, you know, it's part of the law that we have to require this to at least come up to a vote. So I say, yes, we'll put this onto the agenda for next time. There's no pushback. There's no, Well, do we know anything about it? You're not giving us any specifics. The lawyer does say that he'll bring all of that to the next meeting. But, you know, essentially what they're trying to do is they're hoping to be able to spread this all out and just trickle information in little by little so that people don't connect the dots. But thankfully, there were people with inside the Kaufman County government that got a hold of me, let me know that this was all going on and to start putting these things together and kind of help me push me on that path. And I'm really grateful to them because without them, this big story, I mean, and it's a massive story. You're talking about something that is going to affect thousands and thousands. Kaufman County is one of the largest counties in Texas. And so when you look at that, you know, you kind of get worried for the residents there because they're, you know, they just want to live life as a Texan. They don't want to be disrupted. And they feel like not just at their local level, but they feel like Governor Greg Abbott, they feel like their state representatives and their state senators are selling their state away, similar to how Americans feel nationwide. And they feel helpless and, you know, hopeless in order to stop it.
Yeah, and this is a massive, massive issue. And you know, it's really unfortunate is when I just got to Texas, I've been here for less than a year, and I moved to an area our audience is well aware, the DFW area. I quickly realized that the DFW area wasn't what I used to visit 10 years ago. It's actually transformed, and it's done so rapidly. And Epic is a great way to prove just that. Now, like you just detailed, I sat there at one of the Collin County hearings for Epic, and it wasn't transparent. There was actually groups of individuals. Now, there was nobody that I could visibly see, because obviously you could tell when someone is practicing Islam. There was nobody there representing Epic that appeared to be that way. They all appeared to be just kind of white attorneys and PR people that were there to represent them. And it was very misleading, and it was meant to distance themselves to stop what they know is going to happen. I mean, you know, Christians are not going to let this let up on this fight anytime soon, that we do actually fear becoming the minority, because we've seen what it happens in other countries when sadly Islam becomes the majority and Christians are the minority. We've all seen what happens. And so I think people are starting to fight back. And because of those Christian conservatives that showed up to the Epic hearing, they were not able to, I mean, they've delayed it, they kicked it down the road, but they're not able to build on that land right now. And again, like you detail in your report, thousands of people is who they're looking to bring on. And the fact that they're looking to expand their water systems in this region specifically tells you that, yeah, they are looking to take in thousands of individuals and have them live there. When it comes to pushback, though, I know you just mentioned Greg Abbott's office. Greg Abbott's office seemed to push back when we were critical of him and Epic for allowing this to happen and allowing 48 mosques to go up in the span of 2 years in the DFW area. I mean, what do you see when you talk to people in Texas about Greg Abbott? Because I think a lot of people are upset that he's just now getting in this fight.
Oh, 100%. I think that that he's probably been one of their greatest frustrations as far as leadership goes down in Austin. He really does a great job during election season to kind of bring on these voters and let them know. I mean, recently he just claimed that he was going to stop the H-1B visa scam within the Texas federal government. But then you have to sit back and ask yourself, why was that being allowed to go on in the first place? Like, why does there need to be an order to stop it? Why was it ever allowed to begin? And when I'm talking to residents in the state of Texas, their biggest qualm is, you know, we are great for a reason. There's a reason why we are, you know, kind of fighting it out with Florida for that number one spot where people want to move to. And I think the thing that is starting to turn people off is, like you said, when you come into these major cities, it doesn't feel like Texas anymore. I lived in Oklahoma for a while. I've moved back to Texas since then. And I remember coming, you know, to our local area where we had bought our home and telling my husband, this doesn't feel like home anymore. I don't feel like I am looking at Texas anymore. Everything has changed so rapidly, and we were only gone for 3 years. And so, you know, that I think that that feeling that I had coming back to Texas is the same thing that is being represented in all of these citizens who are talking to me. They want to keep their state great. You know, I have four children. And so whenever I look at things like this, I think I want my kids to grow up into the same culture that I did. And I'm not quite sure that I'm allowed, that I can give that to them with the state that we are in right now. Can you pull it back? Yes. But I think the biggest issue for them is the state government selling them down the river. And it's been going on for a decade.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. No, 1,000%. And it's frustrating this is happening. And now that they're like people like Greg Abbott looking for a promotion, they're jumping on board with all of this. There's a lot of officials that are now jumping on board with this. It's polling well that a lot of Americans are concerned about the Islamic takeover of our states, of our cities, and I think that's why they're jumping on. But, I mean, when I hear them bickering about Sharia law and banning Sharia law, it kind of makes my blood boil a little bit because Sharia law is already banned. There's no law that's above the Constitution. And so Sharia is actually legal, and Sharia means law, so it's always repetitive. So I don't think they understand the true issue here, but we have a lot of people jumping on board with this now. We can't sit here and let up on this issue. We need to be outspoken on this front. And I actually just sent it over to my team. I was out to lunch the other day, and someone who lives in Alabama actually sent me this article about how there was a church in Alabama that was on sale. And sadly, an Islamic group bought it. I don't think people realize. I mean, this, and Mary, I'll let you comment on this. This is what they're doing. They're conquering, and they describe it as conquering. That's not my words. That's theirs. We played the video of one of their leaders in Minnesota describing it as conquering these states, these streets throughout the state. And here they are conquering churches by purchasing them. This church was purchased up, I believe, for $2.1 million. But this is what's happening all across the country, not just in Texas. I'll give you the final word on that.
Yeah, I think that, you know, as a Christian, as a Catholic, I get really frustrated when I see things like that because I want my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to realize what the moment is that they're sitting at and that they have to be stronger in their faith and they have to protect these holy sites. I mean, you know, I know that whenever you hear a term like that, holy site, you typically think Islam or you think, you know, Judaism and all of these other things. But no, our churches are holy. They are holy because that's where we go to worship our God. And if we do not protect them from things like that, then, you know, shame on us. And so I think that 100% we have to fight this. I'm not going to leave the Kaufman County issue alone. You know, I plan to have a couple other stories come down the pipe about this, and we'll be focusing on it. I know the thing that the residents are most worried about is that someone is going to forget about it, and they'll eventually have this come to a vote, and it'll quietly go, you know, the wrong way. And so, it's very important for those in Kaufman County to understand that they are not alone. There are people at the national level looking at this, and we're going to keep fighting to make sure that their county stays safe.
Yeah, Mary, this is a fight that's worth fighting, and we hope all Americans jump on board. Again, it's not just Texas. It's happening everywhere. You better pay attention to what's happening in your community. Mary Rook, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate your time. You do an incredible job over the Daily Caller, so it's an honor to have you on the show. We look forward to having you back for the very latest on this fight. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Honestly, it's been a great time.
Thank you. Thank you. Folks, we're going to turn to some callers. I know we've got a lot of people on hold right now, so I'm going to try to get through all of this. Alex in Michigan, you're first up. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going? Can you hear me all right?
I could hear you. Alex, welcome.
Nice. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about how Jeffrey Epstein was blessed by Pope John Paul II, and so is John Podesta. I have pictures of both John Podesta and Jeffrey Epstein being blessed by Pope John Paul II. And that's because Jeffrey Epstein was working for what's called the Jesuit Order, the Society of Jesus, a military order within the Vatican, run by what's called the Black Pope. And they run all intelligence. They run all the governments. They actually killed Abraham Lincoln, and America cut off diplomatic relations with the Vatican because it was found out that they were involved in killing our president, Abraham Lincoln, just like JFK, killed by Cardinal Spellman. And I don't mean to offend any Catholics listening, because if you believe the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins and was buried and risen again on the third day, then you're saved by grace through faith, not of any of your own works, but Christ's finished work on the cross. Just believe in that. And then that doctrine of grace through faith is actually condemned by the Jesuit order at their Council of Trent, run from 1545 to 1563. And so the Jesuit order, they run all the governments, and Rome itself is Mystery Babylon of the Bible, the city that rules over all the kings of the earth, Revelation 17:18. And the Roman Empire is the beast of Daniel in Revelation. And the final pope of Rome will be the Antichrist. He'll be the final Caesar, according to Daniel 9:26.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you calling in. I've got a bunch of callers on hold right now who also want to talk about Epstein. I want to make sure I get to everyone because I hate the fact that I have everyone on hold right now. Alex, thank you. We also have Alex in North Virginia also wants to add to the Epstein discussion. Alex, welcome.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning, Alex. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing solid. Let me mention this real quick before I talk about Epstein real quick. The Super Bowl halftime, I'm not going to watch that. This guy is a flame. So, you know, just
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of demonology within all Super Bowl appearances, especially the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. Just pay attention, especially with Rihanna. Just watch that one and watch how high they raise her up above the field and mm-hmm. take a screenshot and then start drawing. You'll see what I'm talking about.
I know we were talking about, I actually got into a fight with a friend about this. I was immediately like, this is a demonic performance. This is demonic. I mean, she's in red. I remember like it was yesterday. Absolutely. You're solid.
And she was pregnant, which means it was a sacrifice. Now, anyway, Epstein. Rihanna, let me test your knowledge.
Uh-oh.
Manhattan Correctional. What is the nickname of Manhattan Correctional?
It's not the island. It's something else because it's federal.
It's called the Tombs.
Okay.
You know why Tombs. They call it the Tombs?
I've heard about it. My friend Bernie Carrick, before he passed away, told me about this. But I don't know specifically how it became the Tombs, but I do know it's a hellhole.
The Tombs is because deep underneath they have tunnels that run to different parts of the city, mm-hmm. and especially South Street Seaport. I called Harrison and Rex last year and told them about this. Once I figured out that Ghislaine Maxwell had her business called Terramar, which they took ships or not ships. They took boats, personalized boats and whatever, and they turned them into submarines. She also had a submarine license, a piloting license, and a helicopter license. So if you guys can pull up Manhattan Correctional on Google Maps to South Street Seaport, you'll see that that's not a very long trip at all. I said this last year, and I'm going to say it again. Epstein is alive. They moved him through the Tombs. They moved him to South Street Seaport, and they put him in a submarine that was piloted by Ghislaine Maxwell. I know it sounds crazy, but it all makes sense to me. What do you think?
I would never discourage anything, but I just think he's dead. I always go, I don't know. I would need a little bit more things of substance. I'm a little bit more tougher of a sell on these things.
Yeah,
I like your idea though. I'm not going to say you're not very wrong. I'm not going to say you're wrong. I'm just going to say that I need a little bit more physical evidence.
Remember, all super spies in all movies, they never die. There's always a plant. They put a body there, and they move them out. Mm-hmm. They tell you exactly what they're doing in every movie they ever make.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Alex, we'll see. If you run into Jeffrey Epstein, let me know. Let us all know, please. I see people constantly tag me in, like, these lookalikes, though, and I always go, oh, that's not him. But they're always like Brianna, he's here. They found him. They spotted him. I'm like, no, that's too obvious. That's too obvious. Thanks, Alex, for calling. I always appreciate your insight as always. So thank you, my friend. All righty. Let us go to our next caller. Somebody who wants to talk about Clinton. Let's turn to Gordon in Canada. Gordon, welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Excellent. Excellent. Yes. I wanted to call in with the whole Trump defending Clinton.
Yeah.
I think it's a tactic that he's using because anyone who really goes against the Clintons don't have a long life expectancy.
no way, he's Gordon.
he's also the one that brought, I think it's Kathleen Shelton, who was the first person that Hillary Clinton was the first criminal defense case that she had. And that just exposed Hillary Clinton for being an absolute demon. And then I'm pretty sure Trump brought to another debate Bill Clinton accusers. So for him to backtrack on it, I'm hoping it's five-dimensional chess because Trump really, like, he is a narcissist. He is an egomaniac. And if anyone does destroy America, that's his empire. That's the thing. Like, Trump is pro-America because he won't have a legacy. All the years of him building his brain will be abolished or wiped clean from history if he doesn't get this right. And I really do hope and I've watched every single debate being a Canadian because American politics deeply affect us no matter what. Mm. And I hope he really does put them to the flames because the American people, the people of the world really need justice. It's not just America that they ruined. They went to Haiti. They've done a lot of things. I've watched Joe Biden extort Ukraine on live TV saying if you don't fire the guy that's prosecuting or investigating my son for being in an industry that he clearly has no credentials in. And, you know, this corruption is going to be at an all-time high. And unfortunately, a lot of people, as soon as they heard that, I even kind of got, you know, a little weirded out by that. But also, I think he can't go directly at them because they still have too many agents in the field, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yours. I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense. I'm not going to push back on that. I mean, it makes sense. I just hate hearing him defend Bill Clinton. It's always like, don't want to hear that. But, you know, Gordon, I think you're right. I think you're right on that front. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. And we appreciate all of our conservative Canadian friends. Sorry for Bill. Sorry for Joe. Sorry for all of them. But thank you for sticking with us. Folks, let's try to get through at least one more caller because we've got about 2 minutes left. Let's turn to Jason in Vermont. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey, can you hear me there?
I could hear you. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hey, big fan. You do great work.
Thank you.
You know, I just wanted to sort of say something about kind of coming together with a team of, you know, people that are trying to fight this, what's going on, people that are on our side. And, you know, you don't want to alienate the good Islamic people. Most of the Islamic people I know in my personal life are very, they say things like, peace be upon you. And, excuse me. And, you know, the just because Soros is paying to ruin our country and ship in a bunch of the bad ones or paying them to act out or have jihads. And, you know, I heard Alex Jones say that the Quran is a war manual. You know, it gives stories of historical holy wars. It's not saying that, you know, all there's some Jewish people that think they're the master race, but the average American Jew, you know, just like Mel Brooks movies and deli food, you know, it's like, so I think we should give a platform to the good Islamic people and and for example, some of the ultra-Orthodox Jews are extremely anti-vax. Excuse me, I'm out of breath. That's mostly my point.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jason, I mean, the Quran has over 100 verses that do call on their believers to commit violent acts against non-believers. They do, in fact, encourage pedophilia. I mean,
well, did you read that in the Quran yourself? I mean, yes.
Yes, okay. Jason.
People only lived to 30 years old then, so to have a 14-year-old wife was normal. And
Jason,
you know,
you don't hear them condemning it.
Recommend the chapter on Mary.
Jason, pedophilia is vile. Pedophilia. Hold on a second. Pedophilia. I let you talk. Pedophilia is vile, and I strongly condemn it. And I don't hear Muslims saying that argument that you try to make. That it's unacceptable. And in fact, we see throughout the Middle East, they actually still do carry that out where they're still selling off young girls, not women, girls. And they are using them, obviously, for their sexual pleasures. And it's a child that we're talking about here. So it happens throughout Afghanistan. They're even doing it to boys. They're raping boys. So until they decide to get together and completely condemn what's in their own Quran, I mean, there's over 100 verses. We could walk through it one day if you'd like. And go through each one. We could have a Muslim come on to the show if they want to explain to us what each of these verses actually mean if they think it's being misinterpreted. But when they tell them to slit the throats of non-believers, and then we see these videos of these Islamic terrorists doing just that, I've got a massive issue with it. And they don't speak out. You know, remember last year, 2025, January of 2025, when that Islamic terrorist, who was actually born on U.S. soil, decided to use his car and plow it into individuals who were just trying to celebrate in New Orleans the New Year's. We saw the mosque in Texas that apparently he belonged to, according to reports, and they told their believers not to actually speak to the feds. So they don't condemn these acts of violence. It's in the name of their God, and I'm just over it. So if they are good Muslims out there, we appreciate it, but then that means you're not following your Quran. All right, folks, that does it for us. The Alex Jones Show is next. Stay put.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at Infowars.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, you know, same Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, get a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones to shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.